week, Anthem is rumored to become A Realm Reborn, because every publisher has to have their own open-world MMO online experience. This is just one headline from the rumor mill. Stay tuned for plenty more stories starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 798 for this November 17th of 2019. And we're back live. It's great to be back after a week off with a pre-recorded show. Hope you guys all enjoyed that bonus episode of Orange Lounge Radio, but we're back here live as we are every Sunday night, usually, when, you know, we're not sick or on vacation or something's going on. I know it's been a weird past 6 weeks, but it looks like we're on a nice path of being here every Sunday night over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's VOG Network for Voice of Geeks Network. 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Who are we here at Orange Challenge Radio? Well, I am Rob Roberts, and she, off camera, because she wants to be.
Yes, I want to be.
Her way or the highway is Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. And are you gonna at least show the, because I went to New York City, which is why I wasn't here last week. Are you going to at least show the souvenir I brought you back from the Nintendo store? There you go. So for those on the podcast feed, she's showing off a stuffed Kirby.
Pillow.
That's a very a Kirby pillow that's like an 8-bit kind of style with
He's
Kirby
on
holding
a star.
The star. Yeah, so very cool. I went to the Nintendo store. Obviously, you go to New York City and you're a nerd, you have to go to the Nintendo store at some point. And the upstairs portion is a lot of like Pokemon stuff. Because I think when that place opened, it was actually like a Pokemon Center, I think was the branding for those stores. So upstairs is still majority Pokemon. So I actually FaceTimed our resident Pokemon nerd here at the Voice Geeks Network, Shane. And I actually FaceTimed him to be like, is there anything here you need? Is there anything here that you need? And lucky me, he didn't need anything that was there, because I guess a lot of it you can get online if you know where to go. But I did buy for the studio, and for those of you watching on Twitch, you may actually see here, we have the brand new starters from Gen 8
yes.
to go with the Gen 7 starters that were here previously. So the little stuffed animal couch here is growing a little bit with a Sobble, Score Bunny. That's what happens when you run the names together. And Grookey. So they're on the couch. I got that, and I got the little stuffed pillow for Dark Sakura. So because I think I sent you a picture. I didn't FaceTime you, but I sent you a picture. And
I will give you money for everything, but I would go poor.
Yeah. So you were like, I want 5 perfect. Of those pillows. I was like, choose one. And I'll make it happen.
I would have sent you money for the others, but then Dan would have murdered me.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I probably spent more money than I should have in New York. But the good news is that most of it was bought in advance. Like, I was sitting on those tickets for Moulin Rouge on Broadway. We bought those back in, probably April. So, you know, we bought them a long time ago. And then we saw Jagged Little Pill on Broadway as well. Yes, like the Alanis Morissette album. It was the very, very first weekend, actually, of that show being on Broadway. So, American Idiot or Mamma Mia, they made a musical out of Alanis Morissette songs that doesn't have to do with Alanis Morissette. Like, Mamma Mia isn't about ABBA, right? But it's just some catchy songs. I loved both musicals for different reasons. I thought they were both fantastic. Moulin Rouge especially was just showy. Like, it was – the presence of that show was amazing. But anyway, it's not a theater podcast, but definitely I sometimes forget about what a theater fan I am until I, go to something like that. And then I'm like, oh, I love this so much. I wish – I need to do this more often. So now Alan is talking about going to see Dear Evan Hansen when it's touring here in Northern California later next year. So I'm like, yay, the theater queens and both of us have been unleashed. I don't know if he's a fan of the theater, but I should introduce over there Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
What's your favorite Broadway show?
I don't know.
Do you have one?
Out of all the ones I've seen, I don't know. I've seen Phantom of the Opera several times.
Okay,
but Wicked was pretty good.
Oh, Wicked? I haven't seen Wicked, actually. I've seen Phantom. I think you have to see Phantom.
I think
high schools go to see Phantom at some point, but Wicked.
Wicked was pretty good.
I haven't seen Wicked, believe it or not. I mean, I know enough about it, but
I've been to a few off Broadway, but I've been to one Broadway play.
What's your favorite? What play? It doesn't have to have been on Broadway.
It was Broadway though, and it was my favorite.
Hmm.
It was Cats at the Winter Garden Theater.
Oh, are you? How do you feel about that movie that's coming?
Intrigued.
Okay.
Because I'm just gonna go sing with it.
Yeah. Well, wait for it to come to the Castro Theater when they have the big sing along.
We were doing like a sewing circle today with the sisters,
mm-hmm.
and of course, Sister Ova is our theater person. Mm-hmm. So we were just going back and forth singing stuff from Cats and singing also a few things from like Blazing Saddles and History of the World Part One.
See, the nice thing about Jagged Little Pill, I already knew all lyrics. I mean, they change minor lyrics to fit the narrative, just like they do in Mamma Mia. They do the same thing there. But, like, I knew all the songs, pretty much, so it was pretty cool. But I loved it. Oh, my God, I loved it so much because they took these songs that were so important to many of us in the 90s. Like, if you're in your late 30s, early 40s, Alanis Morissette probably meant something to you in, like, the high school or early college era. And so, like, to see these songs reinvented with a very 2019 narrative to it, because this musical touches on a lot of very current things going on, like the Me Too movement and, you know, things like the things that are very current. It was really neat to see these songs that meant so much in the 90s now have this impact on a 2019 narrative. And all I'm going to say, they put a little twist on You Oughta Know. It's not what you might expect. And it got a standing ovation in the middle of the show, something I understand happens very rarely on Broadway. But it was very, very impressive.
You know what my introduction to Alanis' music was?
What?
Flea.
Flea?
Of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, because he played bass.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was what got me on the album, because yeah. I heard that he played bass on it. I was like, I like all things that Flea does.
Okay, you want to hear my random Alanis Morissette trivia, and then I promise we'll get to video games.
Okay.
Here's the thing with Flea. So on most versions, go check your Jagged Little Pill album.
There's two versions.
Everybody bought that album, right? There's two versions. Track two doesn't have Flea.
It's the last track.
Track 13 has Flea, and you can hear it. You can hear that bass in it. Mm-hmm. But now I'll tie it to video games. That's why that song is so important in Rock Band 2, I think it was in, because it does have the Flea version. And remember, it had the bass guitar in it, so you're playing the Flea part.
Yep.
And so you're do-do-do-do. And you can really hear what the bass guitar adds to that
song. His style is pretty dynamic.
Yeah.
And pretty much immediately recognizable.
Yeah. So... All right. Anyway, looking at our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Metal Mayhem says, Rob, please tell us that you had pizza and a bagel while in New York. It's like an unsaid rule that you have to.
He went to his favorite Italian restaurant, Sbarro's.
No, believe it or not.
True story. That was the first place I got pizza when I was in New York because it was cheap. But it was at Times Square.
Believe it or not, there was no pizza and no bagels. However, we went to Junior's with the world-famous cheesecake. We went there twice. We went there once for dessert, and we went there again for dinner. And actually, one of those nights we went there for dessert was with Ranma and Giovedea from Anime Jam Session and Victoria or Arya Snark from Shaking and Crying. So it was like a little Vogue Network kind of meetup. And that was the first time Victoria and Ranma and Giovedea all met, and they're all like, they all clicked like instant buds. So that was kind of fun to see, like, watch happen in real time. So that was really cool. So no New York pizza or bagel. But we did go to an Italian restaurant. That's where we went with SSJ 100 Matt. So I had some gnocchi because I like gnocchi, and Alan hates it, so we don't really usually have it for dinner here.
Gnocchi?
So, yeah.
Gnocchi.
Whatever. Do I look Italian?
No, but it's...
Pinocchioki.
It's like maraschino.
Whatever. Well, that's what I had, and it was good, so whatever.
Gnocchi is great.
Yeah.
I can make it.
Well, good.
From scratch.
Wanna
I'll
make
do
me
it
some?
Someday. Yeah, why not?
Sweet. The holidays are coming up. All right, anyway.
I've had sweet potato gnocchi, and that's pretty a bomb.
Oh, I haven't had that. That sounds good. All right. Less food, more video games. We are here to talk about video games every Sunday night over the next few hours. I feel like it was like kind of a slower news week. I don't know if that's just
yes.
because of the big game releases we had this week. I mean, between last week's Death Stranding and this week's Pokemon Sword and Shield and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, right?
Yeah.
You can tell which one I haven't looked at yet, but I know people who have. So it's been a pretty freaking big week in games. So I think the news a little bit lighter because everybody's playing. But I feel like one company did put out a ton of news this week, and it's the one that admittedly we don't probably give enough of a spotlight to here on this show. And I think a lot of our audience tends to gravitate a little more for the Nintendo side of things and maybe the Sony side of things. But you have to, at least, even if you don't own an Xbox One yourself, you have to at least be taking a passing interest into this evolution. I feel like this generation of gaming has been a very like self-reflection type of stage for Microsoft, you know, and, you know, and I've said this before on the show, they're really setting up these chess pieces, and, you know, under the leadership of Phil Spencer, they've come a long, long way, and they're doing some really exciting things. And so they had a big event, this X019 event, where they announced a lot, and this is just kind of a sign for things to come. And I think it's really exciting, whether you follow Microsoft or not. They've got a lot of great stuff coming down the pipeline. So I thought maybe Loki could run down some of the big announcements that we heard at the X019 event.
Yeah, so I did not get to watch this either because I had just saw like after – normally I would try to watch this stuff live, but I was working and then I saw, oh, it's over. I'm like, oh, crap. Anyways, so some of the things that were announced, they talked about a new game from Obsidian called Grounded, which is going to be entering early access this spring. It's a sandbox survival game. They said, literally, you are a group of kids who have been shrunk down to a tiny size and have to survive in a suburban backyard and not get eaten by spiders.
So it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the game.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It has to be better than that ride at Disneyland that was pretty terrible.
That wasn't a
That was not
ride.
Terrible.
That was
it
a,
had it was great. It
wasn't
was,
that a
Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah, the 4D experience.
Yeah, it was like the, using the Captain EO Theater for something else, yeah.
You know what was used last time I went there?
Mm-hmm.
It was, you could go watch a trailer for Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I don't
it
know.
Was
yeah.
sad.
I don't know what they're using that theater for. Oh, I think it's a Star Wars thing, or it's been a Star Wars thing for a little bit now.
No, it's not used for anything right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Then put Captain EO back.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. Nah, there's all those recent things about Michael Jackson where it's, you know, but I, you know what, I try not to let that like cloud what I remember in the 80s, you know, and Captain EO was awesome in the 80s. So I don't know. Anyway.
All right.
At least they didn't try to bring back Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. I'm sorry. It was so bad. Why did they have Rock?
I liked it because it had Eric Idle in it.
I know. Eric Idle is cool, but like, it was weird to me how like you would walk around the outside. You see like Robin Williams on a poster, but he's like, he's not in it. And then that's false advertising.
I didn't see Robin Williams on
any
posters.
He was, yeah. He, like, Robin Williams was, like, on one of the posters. And I was like, he's not in it.
Why?
No, I never saw him on any of the posters.
I swear.
I just saw Rick Moranis and Eric Idle and, yeah, it was just Eric Idle and Rick Moranis.
Huh. Oh, Tiger Claw is linking us to it on YouTube. Don't waste your time. All right.
Sorry. Okay.
Xbox, hello.
So .NOT has a new game called Tell Me Why, which is coming out this summer. And let's see. They said that Tell Me Why stars a pair of siblings, one whom is a transgendered man. And this, they apparently have been working alongside GLAAD to develop or deliver what is called an authentic representation of the trans experience. It's a 3-episode game.
Cool for representation. Who's making that again?
.NOT, the folks that did Life is Strange.
Oh, okay. Oh, well then, I mean, Life is Strange, those are some pretty powerful games that really impacted people. So, you know, this might be a very important game for people. So I'm excited to hear more about it.
Rare has a game called Everwild that they showed.
That sounds really interesting.
Oh, yeah. This game, this was my favorite thing that I saw out of this, for sure.
Yeah, they said it's focused on building an experience that allows for new ways to play in nature and a magical world. I have not watched the trailer yet, but it looks cool.
You should. It's really good looking.
Some Final Fantasy games are coming to Games Pass. So they announced that between now and the end of 2020, Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 2, and 12, and all three of the 13 series and 15 will be on Game Pass.
That's pretty impressive if I hadn't already bought all of those on PlayStation at one point or another.
They said that also that they're going to be releasing you know, Streets of Rage 4 by friend Pedro, The Witcher 3, and the definitive edition of Age of Empires 2 and Rage 2. Those were available on Games Pass today. The other previous ones at some point. And they're hoping to bring xCloud game streaming to Games Pass next year. The Yakuza series is coming to Xbox One. So Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami 1, and Kiwami 2 are going to be coming to Xbox One and Games Pass early 2020. Kingdom Hearts, I guess, the original Kingdom Hearts games are coming to Xbox One as well. So
about time.
1.5, 2.5, 2.8. And they said they're also dropping a demo of Kingdom Hearts 3 on Xbox One. And then Halo Reach is being added to the Master Chief Collection for console and PC on December 3rd.
Are they going to do a Master Chef Edition?
They are not doing a Master Chef Edition. And Wasteland 3 is going to be coming out, looks like May 19th, 2020. And that's going to be coming out as well on other platforms, PlayStation 4, PC, Mac, and Linux. Sea of Thieves is getting another update on the 20th called the Seabound Soul.
I really need to take some time to check out Sea of Thieves because I know people that like really love that game, but I just, you know, the backlog is so big and there's only time for so many games, but this game's still getting a lot of love and support, which is great to see.
Nexon has a game called Kart Rider Drift that's coming to consoles. It looks like it's coming first to Xbox in 2020. They have a game called West of Dead. It's a twin-stick top-down shooter from Raw Fury. And they have a...
Kind of looks like it's like a Western theme going on, right?
Well, yeah, it's kind of what West of Dead sounds like. It's a Western game. And that's going to be an open beta.
So like Gun.Smoke. Remember that?
Right.
That old Capcom game? That old-ass Capcom game? Not to be confused with the television show Gunsmoke, but Gun.Smoke. Anyway. It's a fun game.
Bleeding Edge is going to be available March 24th, 2020. And that's Ninja Theory's new multiplayer combat game. And then they've got a game called the Flame in the Flood. And that's coming next year to Xbox and PC. And let's see. Last Stop is coming to consoles, PC next year. Planet Coaster Console Edition coming summer 2020. And then they had some announcements for other games coming to xCloud, Devil May Cry 5, Madden NFL 20, Tekken 7. And they're also doing, I guess, a public preview mode in certain territories next year. And they're also bringing support. It's eventually the service is going to be coming to Windows 10. And they're going to add more controller support, including the DualShock 4. So that's kind of cool that they'll allow third-party controllers in there as well. And then last but not least, more trailers for Flight Simulator, Minecraft Dungeons, Age of Empires 4, Crossfire X, Artful Escape, and then they had a trailer for Jedi Fallen Order, even though that is technically out already.
That's a pretty impressive conference. I mean, you just spat out like probably 15 games in that little segment there of things that Microsoft showed off.
And that's all the stuff that's coming out for Xbox. I mean, they haven't even announced the stuff that's coming out for the next system, which I'm sure lots of studios are working on stuff.
So, you know what it kind of reminded me of in a way is that, you know, PlayStation, we forgot, they used to do their PlayStation fan event in November, December.
They canceled it this year, I think.
Yeah, they haven't been doing it for a couple of years. I don't think they did it last year either.
I thought they did do it last year.
Or maybe, I don't think they did. They did it like the year before. I think 2017 was the last time they did it. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody in chat over Twitch.tv/VogNetwork wants to correct me. But
we're
technically
almost out of the games of all the ones that they've shown. They've been showing year after year. So we've got Death Stranding's finally out now.
Yeah.
Now Last of Us 2 is really kind of the last thing. And then Dreams, I think.
Well, we also know that like PlayStation 5 is happening next
year. Well, right.
Year,
I understand that. But I'm just saying
for that.
See, we're running out of the stuff that we've already been shown. It's been kind of delayed for a while. So now it's finally coming out. And then we'll have... Here's a bunch of new shit we haven't shown you before, which will be kind of fun.
But I would still, you know, I would still expect the same thing to happen from Microsoft's side when they start to show off, here's our next console that we're doing. So it's still pretty impressive that they had this press conference, or I guess fan event, whatever you want to call it, you know, media blast of all these different games, you know, here in November when... You know, we're looking at Sony and it's like, oh, the engine's running out of steam. But you definitely see that Microsoft's like, no, full steam ahead. You know, and they've got, even though some of it is playing catch up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Final Fantasy, the Kingdom Hearts, that's playing catch up. Although, certainly an added value to Game Pass. I mean, that's pretty impressive to have all those Final Fantasy games on Game Pass, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty, I'm kind of excited because now I don't have to worry about finding a, cause I'm probably going to finally get myself a 4K TV for Christmas. So I don't have to worry about finding a disc version of Final Fantasy 13 to get those upgrades. Like it'll be on Game Pass. You know, you remember how they did those like upgrades for 4K for like Xbox One and all that? So
did they for 13?
Yeah, they did. So it was like an enhanced.
Or is it 15?
I think they did it for 15 too, but they did it. They did
because 13 was, you know, how they Xbox 360.
Yeah, I know, but you know how they do those enhanced 360 things. So they.
I mean, I guess it would. Yeah, they look did slightly enhanced, better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting the world to be different, but it's still going to look a little better, and that's nice that I can experience that through Game Pass.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I'm getting over a cold. I brought back disease from New York, so if I may be intermittently coughing during the show, I'm sorry
I'm
about that.
I'm in the same boat as you, so they'll have to deal. Sorry, guys.
Doing my best.
People get sick.
Today's the first day I've actually felt, like, thank gosh I felt much better today. I don't have, like, that intense pressure in my forehead like I've had the past few days, so I'm okay to be doing the show, but
Dan
I'm still coughing
a little
bit.
Dan was in full man flu mode.
Yeah. It's been not fun. But anyway, so even if the Final Fantasy stuff is old news, I still think it's like, oh, but this is still like a cool little value. And like knowing that these have been slightly enhanced, it's like if you haven't looked at these games in a while, which let's be real, Final Fantasy 13 is probably almost 13 years old at this point. It's pretty old at this point. It's a reason to go back and visit them again, you know, perhaps. So I think it's all pretty cool. And then obviously some of these other big games like the Rare game and the, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids game. What's the real name of that game?
Grounded.
I should be better to the developers than calling it what I'm calling it. But that Grounded game, you know, those sound like some cool new ideas. Then the Life is Strange, you know, follow up from that studio and so forth. These all are probably going to be pretty big deal sorts of games. Kind of neat for Microsoft to be associated with that, you know. So
I don't know. I like Grounded better when it's called Earth Defense Force 2017. If I want to survive against giant ants and spiders, I've already got my game for that.
Okay, all right. Now, Bobby Blackwolf is explaining the Final Fantasy 13 thing a little bit, saying Final Fantasy 13 on Xbox 360 was enhanced for Xbox One. They got the original 720p cutscenes and put them in the Xbox One version, whereas the original Xbox 360 version had 480p cutscenes. So the cutscenes were re-rendered for Xbox, basically. Or
for that high-definition 720p.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, better than what it was on Xbox 360. So I still think that's pretty cool. So neat. So, yeah, sounds like a lot of good stuff out of Microsoft. So, you know, and I got to say, I'm enjoying that Game Pass thing. I mean, not to get too far into our gaming weeks that we're going to get into next, but I've been visiting Bloodstained on the PC thanks to Xbox Game Pass on PC. And, you know, it's just a night. Even though I had bought it on – or I had my backer code on Switch or whatever – it's really nice to be able to explore that on PC.
On a version that's not as buggy as probably the Switch version?
Well, I don't know. I'm not as picky with some of those things, but I did notice the Switch version had some stutter and some issues. So, you know, and when I heard they were going to do all the changes, I was like, I'm just going to put this on the shelf for a little bit and I'll come back. What's another few months? I'll go visit it again in a few months. So it's been a few months, but my kind of catalyst for going to visit it again was, oh, well, now I can just get it on the PC for free because I'm already paying for it on the Xbox Game Pass. And it's nice to just sit at the PC and play it there. And, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it. Cool. I also thought there would be achievements, but there's actually not. But I mean, I try not to just play games for achievements, but sometimes they're a fun little incentive. Right. So but there's no achievements on the PC version of Bloodstained. That surprised me. But I'm still enjoying the game for what it's worth. So, all right. Well, with that, we'll get into a little more about our gaming weeks and talk a little bit about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Actually, real quick, before we get into our gaming weeks, I really should ask, you know, when we did that taped episode, we didn't have a lot of news in it because we had taped that on Tuesday and not a lot of news has happened. I don't know if anyone wanted to touch on anything that they kind of discovered, you know, kind of late last week that we didn't get to on the pre-tape show. Darsakura, I know you were talking about one thing.
Yeah, there's a more recent something, and it actually did come up since last week, but we didn't have it in show roll. So I just wanted to mention Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is coming out with a subservice that, like, gets you different perks, like two different tiers. So one of them will have you appoint an animal as your camp caretaker and get more help around the campsite. In the other one, you'll get fortune cookies and can store your furniture and clothing items in warehouses. Like, I don't see why that's important because you've got pretty much indeterminate storage anyway. But maybe it's, like, more decorating ideas. You know, like, you could have your storeroom on the console versions. So it's going to come out on, it looks like the 21st in North America this month. It's going to be called Pocket Camp Club. They didn't say how much it is, but if it's like the Mario Kart Gold, then maybe $5. So just thought I would mention the Animal Crossing communities I'm in are kind of like, oh, I'm not going to get it. And I'm like, I'm an adult, and I'm going to pay for it.
It's an interesting thing they're adding to it. I mean, I admit I've kind of left Pocket Camp behind a long time ago, but I know you're still a fan of it, and obviously there's other people playing it. You're not alone because people have opinions.
It's my
But I'm I have to admit I'm a little surprised they're launching it now when we're what? Only like 3 months away from
just hit the 2 year anniversary for it. And I think they're trying to find a way to keep it viable when.
And
on top of that, I'm gonna be quitting idle pouring when my sub runs out. It's like $17 for 3 months for the SVIP because I'm just not having fun with it anymore. The only thing I'm having fun is telling all the people says, join my guild, just saying no. Like I've just turned into this cranky little contrarian in chat, and it's been kind of funny.
Sia Tiberian chat says, every so often I check my friends and I see Rob as being at level 7. I hate to break it to you. I uninstalled Animal Crossing Wild World from my phone a long time ago. I'm sorry. Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Pocket Camp.
I uninstalled that from my phone a while ago. Now, granted, that was when I was still on my very small, 32 gigabyte iPhone 10.
I like it. Level 179.
Yeah, I ran out of space. But now my new guy, this iPhone 11 Max, whatever, has, I think, a 128 in it. So I have a lot more room again. So maybe I'll reinstall it. Maybe I'll get to level 8 just for you. And then
I'm level 179.
Jesus, Louises.
Well, they've got like all kinds of stuff since I think you played it last. So there are, they put in a lot more mini games. Like you've got fishing tourney now, and you get like items and things for that. You have like this flower thing where you catch bugs, and then you can send the bugs to other people, and you get the rare flowers that way. And then you get stuff for doing that, like special items, and you get all kinds of like challenge tiers that you can do, and then like the scavenger hunt like every couple of months. And it's actually kind of fun. I mean, it's just been a little way. And you can skip the freaking cutscenes, like where you That's give nice. People stuff. And you can actually have, who's the pelican guy? You can have him deliver all the shit that people want to them. So they've taken out a lot of the really annoying stuff. And you get like a cabin now that you can decorate as well. So which is probably why I'd get the storeroom if it's more chance to decorate. I do get the fortune cookies, though, because some of that shit's pretty.
Well, it's interesting to hear about the subscription thing, especially this "quote unquote" late in the game for
Pete. Thank you, Sia Tiberi.
So, all right. Anything else we want to touch on that may not be addressed in the show roll coming up? Okay, if not, let's move into our gaming weeks. Let's talk about how was your gaming week and the types of video games that we've been playing this week. Darsakro, obviously Animal Crossing, but what else?
I have been a little bit of idle pouring, but like if I don't get the rebirth, because you have to like fight Osiris and I can't beat him yet, I'm just like ready to give up on that damn game. But I have been doing some Apple Arcade stuff. I'm kind of getting really back into Pinball Wizard. It's like this little game where you play a guy and you have to propel him pinball style through these levels and hit enemies, but they can also turn red and attack you back. And you hit barrels for like energy and treasure and life.
I'm reminded of like Pinball Quest on the NES, where it's like it's pinball but there's a purpose to it type of thing.
Well, and your goal is to get the key that unlocks the door, and sometimes you have to take the bars off the door, but you can still unlock the door, and when the door opens you have a countdown until it lets you go through it. And usually for me that's like more treasure, because your treasure goes back into your overall score that gives you your level. And you can also go in as you progress along with different levels, you get different abilities unlocked, but you can pay for those abilities to go up. Like my favorite one right now, because I hate when I drain. Like I have a post that comes up that like stays up for like, I have it now for like 10 cycles or something. I like the one that like when you drain, it takes less energy off of you. And like, there's these annoying bat creatures that you have to like hit their bombs. It kicks the bombs into them and blows them up. And then you have spiders that throw webs on your flippers and things like that. It's kind of fun. And then I've actually been playing legit pinball. So we just got Doctor Who working again today, and I played some Black Rose the other day, and I played Theater of Magic, because that one was mine and Dan's anniversary machine, and I just felt like a little bit of the, it needed some love. Although it's hard to play anything in the garage right now, because Dan's in the middle of rebuilding a 69 Mustang. It was his first car. He bought it off the street for $1,200 cash, and he's getting it running. So that's really... Oh, and I picked up a thing today. And I want people to guess what that thing is.
It could be a lot of things, Star Soccer. You got to give us some hints.
It's a game.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
No.
Okay. Let's see. Is it... it's a game. Okay. Is it a Nintendo Switch game?
It is.
Okay. Oh, it's in a GameStop bag.
Well, people that.
Okay.
Because you know what it is.
It's in a non-GameStop bag.
It's in a re-gifted. All right, there it is. So she's holding up on the stream her copy of Pokemon Sword.
Finally.
There you go. So you have
all because of one Pokemon.
Really?
Sirfetch'd.
One Pokemon sold it for you.
Sirfetch'd.
Okay.
Should we not be giving wild animals weapons now? I mean, I feel that this is
a leak.
That didn't look like a leak in his mouth. That looked like he's holding a sword.
But he's holding the leak as a sword.
Yes, I get Sirfetch is holding a leak.
Have you seen the little Grookey gun meme? I need a little tiny gun for Grookey to hold here.
Well, which one of those would be sword? The bunny?
No, I don't. None of them.
And actually, I think that, you know, the fact.
I'm going to start off with whatever that fire bunny is.
Score bunny?
Yeah.
Holding a leak is even kind of more frightening because that means he's fashioning a shank and now. Now they're going to murder you and you're safe.
I'm just glad Dark Sakura has Pokemon Sword because I have Pokemon Shield. And I feel like a lot more people, like judging my friends list, like I would say like 2/3 are on Shield. It's interesting how that seems to be the more popular of the two.
I've already had a handful of people say, oh, get me a Sirfetch. I'm like, and Shane's just like, they're a bitch to evolve. Good luck.
It's because everyone wants the fancy Ponyta is what it is.
Well, yeah, Ponyta's only in Shield.
Rob's going to get me one.
Oh, is he?
If I'm going to get you a Sirfetch'd.
Okay, fine.
That'll be the deal, is that when we get the hardcore Pokemans.
All right. Anything else for your gaming week? You should talk about...
Oh.
I know you haven't been playing it, but I know you've been watching.
Yeah, okay. So my whole reason for... Because I knew I was going to eventually be picking up a game, but I didn't know if I was going to get Death Stranding or not. So I ended up just being completely impatient, getting sick of people trying to spoil shit. Because if someone wants to spoil shit, I'll spoil it for myself first. So I watched an entire playthrough of Death Stranding so I could skip through the walking simulator, which thank God I didn't buy it. Because the walking simulator part would be boring as fuck to me. I'm sorry. That is. I like exploring. I don't like exploring when you have to fight shit. Like the way that has to happen. And just the scenery was pretty, but it was a little too natural to be fun, if that makes sense. It's really well rendered, though. But I did watch the whole thing because I was like, what the fuck, Kojima? I've decided my favorite character is the Bridge Baby. Because I want to be a bridge baby.
And do watch this. I know you know. But I do still plan to play this. Like, my New York trip threw kind of this off. And now I'm all about Pokemon Shield, which I'll come back to in a little bit. So I won't pick up Death Stranding until... I'm secretly hoping there'll be a Black Friday sale, even though it's a brand new game. I feel like games that have come out have still gotten reduced in, like, less than a month.
I would think
so.
So
I'm crossing my fingers there's going to be a Black Friday sale, and I'll pick up Death Stranding.
It's kind of, like, to me... It has a lot that makes me think of End of Evangelion, especially the ending, which, of course, I'm not going to spoil for anybody, but I really did get, like, a hardcore End of Evangelion vibe.
Which I don't know the story of that, so that's fine.
And I also
got... No one does. No one that's watching Evangelion knows the story.
Well, it's more or less, like, one of the overrunning themes in the Evangelion series is how people relate to each other and contact with other people. And that was a big thing in this, is the thought of contact with people. And it's not much of a spoiler because you find out right at the beginning, but Sam, the main character, has almost allergic reaction when people touch him. He has a big fear of touch. And one of the ongoing things in the game is how people feel about their contact with other people. You've got these different... you know, disparate groups all over the country that you're trying to unite. And a lot of them don't want to unite because they think they're safer by themselves. And it's, you know, and keep in mind, this is coming from a Japanese writer, and a big thing in Japanese society right now is that disconnection of personal relationships. And, you know, that goes to something we were discussing.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you if I could kind of bring this up. I was going to say it's kind of a difficult question, but I know we were talking a little bit about it before the show. But I was wondering if I could bring up on the show. There was a controversy on Twitter and social media going around about, you know, is there an anti-asexual narrative in the game? Well, I wanted your opinion. You're an out asexual woman. You've mentioned that on the show before. I wanted to know your take, you know, even though you haven't played the game, you've certainly familiarized yourself with the story start to finish at this point. So
I dug deep.
What's your take on the ace? Because when I read it, I was like, oh shit, is this going to ruin the game for Dark Sakura? What's your take on the asexuality narrative?
My thing is that, first of all, that it's supposed to be one observation of a character in it who probably doesn't identify as asexual. We are kind of mythical to some people. They don't really understand because a lot of people...
We meaning asexual people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because a lot, most people, I mean, we are, what, 1% to 2% of the population. We may be as much as 10%, but that hasn't been proven yet. But the majority of people have a sex drive. We are really hard to understand.
I was just going to quickly say, I bet when you consider that it's probably more of like a spectrum and you have, what do you call that, the demisexuality that's kind of like your or gray ace where it's like a little bit. That probably is kind of where 10% comes
from. Demisexual is when you can only have an attraction to somebody when you form an emotional connection to him.
Okay. Anyway, not to
not even going into romantic spectrum.
Not to digress, but yeah. Edumacation.
But you know, they're saying, oh, well, they're throwing all the, and I should probably find the comment or the thing, but they're, you know, but a lot of people are like, oh, well, they're, you know, using this as a weapon against us and saying all this, that we're degrading society and all that. And like, no. And keep in mind, the writing of this is coming from a Japanese writer. And right now in Japanese society, and America is starting to have some of this go on too, is that they are, first of all, having fewer dedicated relationships and a much lower birth rate because people in general are not having sex. I mean, I'll just put it that way. It's really low on the societal priority level. A lot more is being brought into career and education and things like that.
So I just did a quick search on Twitter, and I don't think this is the original tweet, but somebody on Twitter has wrote, content warning, ace phobia, oof, warning for asexual folks and anyone really, Death Stranding has some fucked up trash of a codex entry. And it's it has a screenshot, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's called An Asexual World. Records suggest that the widespread aversion towards physical contact and intimacy was a phenomenon that had been observed even before the Death Stranding. One contemporary report, for example, details the increasing popularity of the sexless lifestyle among young people. A growing percentage of the younger cohort were self-identifying as asexual, claiming to be incapable of feeling desire or attraction. And it goes on. That's from the in-game entry.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, though, is that, I mean, I look at it along as like how autism is going. That, oh, people weren't done autism before. That's like, well, you know, that's because they're finding more of us and we feel a lot more comfortable being public about those things about ourselves. You know, or like, oh, what's all this trans business? We didn't have this. Well, now people have a name to put on their identity. It's the same thing. And I think that, yes, it came from a rather tone deaf point of view. And well, you know, they also go in to talk about the quote, a measurable decrease in human fertility, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's also, if you look in the context of the universe they're living in, when if you get caught in the rain, you're going to age so much that you die, you know, or if there are creatures out there that if they kill a living person, it's going to create a crater the size of a city block. Who's going to want to breed during that kind of, you know, thing? People are going to be afraid. They're not going to want to bring children into a world like that.
So if I'm hearing correctly, like maybe if somebody just takes this screenshot and if this shit happens a lot in our online society we live in, we know this here in the
I'll
year
link
of our,
it to the chat,
you know, 2019. But if you took that screenshot and only that screenshot in no context, you might be able to see why, oh, this seems like a little bit like it's blaming asexuals for the game. But if you consider it that, like you said, this is one fictional person's observation on a greater picture, and you have to understand that the greater picture is based on a society where, yes, sexuality has declined for all of these other reasons as well. And, you know, again, this game doesn't necessarily always come from an American perspective as much as just a Japanese perspective, where the view on sex is very different.
And right now, this is where Japanese society is in general. You know, that there's just so, I mean, yeah, you do still have like compensated dating and things like that. But for the most part, the average person isn't going to put as much a priority on that in favor of living sometimes a more isolated life. I mean, you've got the hikikomori issue right now where people are so stressed out by the outside world and other people that they will live in their own homes and not emerge from it. And which is actually now, again, starting to happen more in America. We're getting a lot more of that now. I think that it's really, I think that maybe this is more of an allegory for that particular societal event
that, and in some cases for people who maybe are afraid, I've talked to people who are just like, I'm afraid of it, I'm not ready for it, so I tell people I'm ace. I'm like, well, you're not ace if you are clearly, if you have a drive, you know, that does us harm. But from a person who doesn't understand asexuality, this really isn't surprising to me, and I'm not insulted.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked, and thank you for helping bring some insight to that big controversy Twitter right now.
And also keep in mind, a lot of the people complaining about it, I'll just throw it out there, they're neurotypical. And I don't take that much of an emotional look toward it. For me, it's a little bit more on the base of logic. So I don't have an emotional attachment to those things. I just know that those people aren't thinking clearly.
Well, my perception of what's going on, I mean, isn't everything perception? My perception of it all is that we're not considering the context of what we're looking at in a lot of these Twitter screenshots. And isn't that the way things seem to be way too often here in this year, in this generation, in fact, is that there's so much that gets posted on Facebook and it's a headline that was written to sensational, that doesn't really consider the context of what was going on.
That's why I don't believe any story I look at unless I have opened it up, read it, and add my own fucking disclaimer to it. And I posted earlier on my Facebook today, I'm like, X-Files, the truth is out there and I believe nothing. So everyone, I'm going to tell you this right now. Check two things when people post shit. Check the site it comes from. Like if it's realhealthnews.com and it's about detoxing, it's probably fake as fuck. Check the dates on your articles too. Check if they're cited. Check their sources. You have to do your due diligence when you read any of this.
I really wish Facebook would integrate the date of the article.
I'm getting off of Facebook.
But anyway,
one way or another.
Diversion. But so back to Death Stranding. So my consensus, my feeling of what you're saying about it is the game part of it, but the story part of it, pretty interesting.
Well, and the other thing too is that as these people become more connected, it brings its own danger with it. So, and I'm not getting into spoilers on that, but that is also showing you that there are pluses and minuses to everything, the fears that people have. And I really do think that it's just a really good corollary for a lot of things happening in the world right now and the nature of interpersonal relationships and how we deal with our communities. It really is a great commentary. I fucking love the story. And I wanted to punch a few people in the face. And
is Conan O'Brien one of them?
His character was so fucking stupid, and I hate Conan O'Brien, okay? I don't think he's funny, and his character was even less funny, except I totally want an otter hat. So if someone wants to get me an otter hat, you can get one. I'll give you my address. But it really was a great just correlation to a lot of things the world are in. And from someone who I started off, I did take a lot of psychology classes deciding if I wanted to be a major or not. And it really did just spike a lot of the stuff I remember from school.
Well, and
fascinating.
Your review has piqued my interest even more. Like I thought originally it would be a hate play of Kojima's, you know, art fuck project, but
I will tell you the true ending though. It's long. It's Metal Gear Solid 4 long.
Is it true? It's a 2-hour cutscene at the end.
Fuck, something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
But It was one of the scenes where I wanted to punch somebody.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I like about the true ending is that all of these little flashbacks you get through the game, it puts them into context.
Yeah. I one thing I've been hearing pretty consistently about the game is that once you beat it, it makes sense. That it's not that vague or whatever, like the build up to the game has been.
It's really good at the foreshadowing and redirection. I'm not going to say necessarily misdirection, mm-hmm. because it's kind of guiding you in the right way, but it shifts gears to where you thought it was heading one way. A little bit of miss and redirection.
All right. All right. Well, let's stop there before we interview.
And that's my non-spoilery okay. Psychiatric review of Death Stranding.
Well, now I have to make a game called Hate Play Art Fuck Project. Because that's just a great name.
Can we put that on the YYR request?
No,
list?
We're gonna no, make kidding, Loki's kidding. Gonna do it. We're gonna hold you to it.
I just have to get something really artsy and out there. I just
it should be
my head isn't up my own ass enough to be able to like put something out like well, that yet. So.
Just pick like an art period like Distill or the Bauhaus movement, and you've got something to go from because sometimes Distill and Bauhaus were kind of up their own ass too.
All right, art found up my own ass by Loki. All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I played a lot of Minecraft Dirt because that launched this week. So it's the new AR game. Yay.
Okay, okay, great. You can tell me what the fuck it is because I've tried playing it. But to be fair, I've been sick all week. So I haven't really left the house a lot. You know, yeah. I was home for work for a couple days. So all I've been able to do is tap stuff on the house. I'm like, yay, I got bricks. Yay. So what's the game?
So basically, there's not much of a game there yet. So it's just like Pokemon. There's not a whole lot of.
But there's very much a game in Pokemon.
Pokemon Go, not so much, but.
Well, collecting them all, battling the gyms.
So you go around, which is kind of nice. They have, like, they don't have. So you play the game. What you have is tappable. So there, when you pull it up, there's, like, your map, which you see, you know, your streets around you and everything, and there's stuff that you can tap on the map to get things. So they have, like, rock, or, you know, it's like stone, grass, trees. There's cows, pigs, and sheep, and so you can tap on those and you get them, and it adds it to your inventory, and then you build up your inventory, and then they have these base plates you can use to actually go kind of build something. It's sort of like creative mode, and you build it, and then using the AR thing, so you actually, like, kind of project it onto the floor when it works, because I was trying to do it here in the studio and mine kept sinking into the floor. So you project it and you build it on it and stuff, and then you can go into, like, a play mode and actually play it with legit Minecraft. But it's really small. It's like 16 by 16. The ones you start off with are 8 by 8, and so most of the stuff that you're doing in the game feels like you're kind of looking into a hole. Because that's kind of what it is. So, like, they have these adventures that you go on. So you'll see these lights that are in parks. And it's not like Pokemon Go where they have specific points that they spawn in. It's basically an area of the map that it's deemed as a park. And they'll spawn randomly in there. And they'll shuffle around every once in a while and move to different parts of the park. And so, like, the park near me, I have, like, 3 of them that just shuffle around. Over by the river, there's, like, a fucking ton of them, just like crazy amounts of those things, but they're not all that diverse. So each one, when you go on an adventure, that's such an elaborate way to put it. It's basically just a small section of Minecraft. So you can go in there, you actually have to have a pickaxe and sword and stuff, and you dig out blocks, and the blocks that are in there are sometimes different than what you can find normally in your tappables. Like, for example, that's the only way you can get coal, which is kind of annoying. So you go there, and then you can fight mobs sometimes. And really, like, for the adventures, for me, it's collect as many blocks as I can before I get bum-rushed by skeletons for no fucking reason, is what it is. Because you'll be, like, digging into the ground, and really all it is it's a hole. So you're digging down, and you've got your 8x8 section. And then, for no reason, there's skeletons coming to me at the side, even though it's daylight out and they should be burning in the sun. Minecraft rules. But I'm getting bum rushed by them, so then I have to kill them and do all that. If you die in adventure mode, you lose all your blocks that you had.
Oh, yikes.
Well, just in your, like, so you start off, you have, like, a one line. You're, like, in Minecraft, you have, like, a row of items that you normally have without going into, like, your inventory. So that row of items, you lose that. And then any blocks that you picked up in the adventure mode, you lose that. So what I tend to do is, like, if I see myself getting low on health, just exit out. You take everything with you. Then you can go back in there if you want. And if you die, then who cares?
So now, but you were saying something about the creations don't really save where other people can see.
Yeah, so, like,
so I can't draw a big dick in somebody else's park.
Not that I've found. So, like, right now, like, you can build your base plates and stuff. And you can you can put them down. And then I think there's a way that you can sync it so that other people can actually see it as well. But you have to, like, scan something on their phone in order to do that. It's not like I can just go to your park or go to a park and build something and it's there for anybody to see, as far as I'm aware.
Because I could see where people would be complete douchebags about, like, building, you know, bags of dicks and things on people's houses. So
yeah.
So you have to, like, willingly share that and receive that from somebody in order to be able to see.
Right. So they've got, yeah, because they have, like, a join a friend mode, and you have to, like, you have, like, a space or whatever that you can scan a QR code, it looks like. And then they've got, you can do crafting in the game because it is Minecraft. So you have a crafting table and a smelter, and you can, you don't really, so here's the weird thing. So, like, I can in the adventure mode, I can kill sheep and cows like you would expect, and you get meat from them. But normally you would cook the meat and eat it and use it for, like, regain your health. You can't do anything with it. Like, I have meat. I can't put it in the smelter, which is your oven. I can't use it to cook it. I can't eat it to regain my health in, like, adventure modes. I don't know what the
point is. So it just sounds like the game is, like, really rough around the edges.
It is
like
really rough around the edges.
It's, but it is early access.
It,
I was going to say, the tutorial kind of stinks.
The tutorial stinks.
What to do.
You basically, most of the leveling up in the game is just tappables. Just tap stuff and you'll go up. I'm already level 12. And the adventure mode doesn't really give you that much in the way of experience. It's more of just, here's a way to get, like, blocks, like, you can get steel from there. And I don't know. It's all right. So one thing, you know, there's several things that are wrong with it right now. One, it has a really hard time tracking where you are. Like, it, that GPS tracking, it, especially when I get near the river, and I don't know why, it's just that corridor between Highway 50 and the American River there. It's just jumping like a mile away and back, just going like
just
all
the
over
cell
the place.
Tower coverage is not great with all the wildlife out there.
I just don't know. It cannot track me, or like if I'm at my work, it's jumping across the street and coming back. It's just,
don't you work in a tall building?
I'm talking about outside in the parking lot, like, oh, where the, like, it should be able to read my GPS in the middle of open space.
At my work, like, even though I work on the first floor of a 3-story building, like, my GPS always puts me, I mean, it puts me right on top of a Pokestop, but it's the Pokestop that's, like, across the parking lot at the little stand where you can get sandwiches. Like, clear across the lot, even though that's nowhere near where my desk actually is.
So, so, I mean, basically, you get, like, tappables, and then they have, like, daily challenges that you can do, and you get experience that way, which is another good way to do it. You get experience for building things.
I see you tapping shit on my house right now.
Yeah, so it's just, like, cobblestone. Like, I have so much cobblestone and everything, like, I have almost,
so there's no limit to what you can carry.
No, that's nice. There's
that's
no
good,
limit on the inventory.
That's what annoys me about Harry Potter.
So, like, of course you want to know, like, it's a free-to-play game, so where are the microtransactions? Not very many, actually. So what they've got is you earn rubies as you're playing the game. And the rubies can be used for a couple things. You can use them to buy additional base plates, so you can have more base plates. And the base plates come with things on them already. Like, it's already, like, a pre-designed thing. So what I tend to do with the base plates is just clear them out and take all the things from them. You can buy new base plates. You can use it to speed up the time it takes to craft things, because it does take time to craft stuff in here. So if, like, I want to make
course.
A pickaxe, it's going to take like 5 minutes to do that. So if
very
I want
very typical mobile game trope, right?
So if I want to speed it up, I can just tap it, and it's one ruby per minute. But you earn them so often. Like, I have over 100 of them right now, and I haven't bought anything. So you have that, and then they also have, like, with the
SSU100, Matt's like, this discussion killed chat. Apparently chat does not give a shit about Minecraft Earth. I don't know. I think it's interesting. Minecraft's only, like, the biggest game to come out in the last 15 years.
So you can create your own skins and stuff in there, and then they have, like, you can do customization with the skins. Like, they have outfits that you can buy, and you can spend money on whatever they're, like, gold or whatever. But the outfits kind of suck. I don't know.
But it's early access. You're not going to spend money on anything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's... that's kind of what they have so far.
Let me ask this to sum it up. Is there potential here?
Yes, absolutely. I think so. Like, I want to see how, like, because before they made it sound like, oh, you can go to the park and you can see, someone's creation stuff. And it's actually kind of cool. Like, actually, when it is bright and you're out in, like, a park or something like that, it does track pretty well. Like, you can – I was playing it earlier today, and I'm sure it looks stupid, but, like – It works. Like, you can walk around and, like,
you have strangers coming up to you going, are you playing the Pokemon?
No one came up to me because
they do that to me when I'm playing Ingress. Are you catching
Pokemon? No, but like because I'm looking up and down, so I have my phone like this, or I'm like looking down at the ground and stuff like that, and like I'm like dodging stuff. So it looks a little weird, but it's fun. It's the only, and because it is early access, it eats your battery like nothing, and it makes your phone super hot. So that's the only downside, is it will eat your battery. It gets all toasty. Like early,
as AR games will do.
Yes, as early AR games do. So, yeah, definitely worth checking out if you haven't yet. And it's fun. So it is one of those games you could actually probably play it on your house just without going anywhere, because stuff keeps respawning there and you can tap away and get all sorts of stuff.
Right.
So aside from Minecraft Earth, I played a little bit of Pokemon Go, and I played more What the Golf. So I've been going through that. And what else? Working on my game. And that's about it.
All right. My gaming week. So I guess I've also been AR gaming, and the good old Ingress has double AP right now. So I've been trying to play that, but it's hard because I've been getting over this cold. But I still did some walking around to the local park, just, you know, smashing what the opponents did and building my own thing. And it's pretty much sanctioned win trading at this point, but whatever. I'm getting the double AP. So that's nice. And then I've been playing Pokemon Go. I did Community Day. I caught 3 shiny Chimchars. More importantly, I caught 2 of the Bong Weezings, which are the Galar region one. They look like big bongs. So that was fun.
Big bongs?
They did. What?
Will you trade me?
I can try. I don't know if those are tradable. They should be. I can trade one. Yeah. So I caught those. And then, yeah, that was fun. And then Harry Potter. I played a little bit today because there was a community day in Harry Potter. But all I did was I walked to the park that's like right here because it was all fortress battle stuff. So I just did like 4 battles in the fortress. And I was like, okay, I'm done. Bye. And that was my Harry Potter community day. So still staying on the up and up on the AR games. So there is that. But I'm playing, of course, lots of traditional games as well. I mentioned Bloodstained earlier in the show. Still making my way slowly through that. I just beat what I think is the 3rd boss. So just making my way through that game still. It's good times. And still been playing Final Fantasy 14. My machinist finally hit level 80, so I now have a healer, a tank, and a DPS all at level 80. So I can do whatever I want in the different endgame content. And I've been playing a lot this weekend of Pokemon Shield. I got the digital copy that unlocked on Thursday night, and I started playing. I think my playtime count says it's like at 8 or 9 hours. That seems like a lot when you consider I only have 2 badges, but it does take a long time to get to the first gym. So I'm enjoying the game so far. It's interesting how it throws you into that wild zone pretty early on. So the wild zone is like a very large open map, like a very, probably the largest map that's been in a Pokemon thing. And because it's on the Switch on a newer system, you can kind of see clear across this map, you know, and you're standing on one side of it. So you can see where all the tall grass is, and, you know, you can see Pokemon on the map now. So you kind of have an idea what you're going to run into and catch. Although there will sometimes still just be little rustles with exclamation points, and you won't know what that is until you run into them. So of course, some of the really good stuff is hidden. So you have to kind of, you know, take your chances and so forth. But I thought it was very interesting that it's so open before you get to the first gym. I mean, you can amass easily a Pokédex of probably, if I'd really spent time on it and like done more of the Dynamax raids and stuff, which I'll get into in a minute, I probably could have had a Pokédex of 50 or 60, if not more, like before I even took on the first gym. Whereas, you know, in the early games, it's like, what? Okay, I caught a Pidgey, a Rattata, and a Nido male and a Nido female, and now I got to go and a Caterpie. And now I got to go take on, you know, Brock. You know, that your choices are pretty limited from the early routes. So it's kind of interesting. It's interesting, especially when a lot of the dialogue about this game has been about the removal of Pokemon and stuff. It is interesting how plentiful the Pokemon seem in these early stages of the game. And, you know, to address that controversy a little bit, like, you know, sure, I was a little bit sad to hear that some of the starters, including, you know, Litten from the last generation, stuff, some ones I really like, aren't in it. But at the same time, you know, there are like 400 Pokemon that are in it, and I'm still having enough of a like discovery mode thing where I run into these Pokemon and go, oh, this guy. And I'm not the hardcore Pokemon fan that some of you are, you know, or Shane is or something like that, but I do play quite a bit of Pokemon Go. So there's a lot of Pokemon that I'll go like, oh, it's one of those guys. It's the little shell guy from Pokemon Go, or, oh, it's a Hoot Hoot. I know those. Those are trash in Pokemon Go. You know, like I'll recognize I'll recognize stuff from Pokemon Go, and I think that's kind of fun. So, you know, even though there's a lot of stuff missing, sure, there's a lot of stuff that's still there, and it's enough to make me go, oh, it's that guy. Oh, it's this guy. Oh, fun. Oh, I think what's really interesting about this game, though, are the Dynamax raids. So you can actually – so in the wild area, you'll see these big beams of light, and if you walk up to them, you can initiate a raid. So it's – kind of like Pokemon Go in a way, but more strategic. It's not just tapping as fast as you can. It's like an actual Pokemon battle that's 4 versus 1. So you and 3 friends take on a Pokemon. Or if you're like, fuck friends, I don't want to play games with other people, you can just take 3 NPCs in with you and do it. Or you can do a combination. You have 1 friend, then you'd have 2 NPCs, whatever. And you can do these raids. And when you're connected to the internet playing the game, you can see when other people are about to start raids and join their raid, which I think is really cool. So, like, the first time...
And so, like, the other raids, the Pokemon are larger than normal?
Oh, yeah. They're gigantic. And then you beat it, and then you have a chance to catch it. So, like, I've done a bunch of one-star raids. I've done a couple of the two-stars. I've usually had no problem catching. And I did a three-star raid today for the first time, and we beat it. It was fine, but I didn't catch it. I threw a Great Ball at it, and I still didn't catch it. So catching it's not guaranteed. You get, like, one shot, and that's it. So, and it's just, it's luck. It's big, stupid luck, like these games usually are. It's that little, I can't remember the name of this Pokemon. It's that water Pokemon that has a butthole for a mouth. That's what it is. That's what it's. Just, there's little water Pokemon with a little butthole for a mouth. That's what it is. And I didn't catch it. It ran away for whatever reason. So.
Ah, yes, reverse bidet. That's right.
Yes, reverse bidet. Ran away.
Damn it, reverse bidet ran away.
So I'm through the second gym right now. And, on my way to the third gym. And I'm enjoying the game. It's, you know, I don't usually beat Pokemon games because I'll go, ooh, shiny, and something else takes my interest. Or I'm like, this takes too long to get from here to here. But I'm enjoying this one well enough. And, yeah, I like the. I think the other thing that I like too is that when I do the raids, you get experience candy that helps you level your Pokemon. So it's like you don't have to sit there and just grind regular Pokemon battles.
Someone who hasn't played the mainline Pokemon games, does this have enough of a tutorial in it where, like, I'm going to know what I'm doing, or is it more of like you probably should have played some Pokemon games?
It's kind of the same tutorial all the other games have, whereas like it walks you through, oh, you here, I'll help you catch a Pokemon. So first you want to weaken it, then you throw a ball at it. Walks you through those types of things.
I mean, it is for kids, so it like, is. It's Nintendo.
Your kids could probably understand it, Loki. I don't know if you can, but I think
you'd
probably be into it. It's fun.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, I'm enjoying it enough. The only thing I could really read it on, if I had to go into, like, the negative... Actually, wait, no, there's one more positive I actually want to say. It's not a thing that usually gets commended in games, but I think the music in particular is worth calling out. Like, especially when you're doing the gym battles, like, the big, like, battle, like, when you fight, like, Milo, the grass gym leader, the water gym leader, Nessa, I think her name is, when you're fighting them, like, the gym battle music's, like, really good. So, like, a lot of the music in the game is really good. Okay, so I guess I should say something negative. It's not a perfect game. The one thing I could probably read it on is that it kind of has some performance issues when you're in the wild area. And I think just because it is a Nintendo Switch, and Nintendo Switch can't do, you know, the same type of power that the other consoles can do. And when you are connected and online, like what happens is that your wild area will get populated with other players will show up and like give you gifts and things like that. But like, they just like pop in on top of you, right next to you, like halfway running. And it's kind of jank. Like it's not very flattering to the game. Like it's almost better to just take it offline. And then the performance issues aren't nearly as bad. So that's the one thing I could probably read it on, is that performance issues when you're connected in the wild. Although I do love the idea of the YCOM and being able to join in raids and stuff. Like it does it kind of chokes when you're in the wild area. But I guess it's an optional thing or what have you. So, all right. Oh, Shane says you can skip those tutorials if you want. He's in the chat saying that you can skip those tutorials. That's true. I do remember you get dialogue choices and it'll say like, tell me more or I know, you know, so you can kind of choose if the game's going to handhold you a little bit or not. So, all right. That's it for my gaming week. I think I've said plenty. So let's move on. We're going to get into some news here and talk about what's going on in the gaming world. And we'll start off with Loki.
Let's talk about Google Stadia. So Google Stadia is launching pretty soon, actually this week. So November 19th, it's going to be launching, but it's going to be missing some of the features that they talked about originally at when they were announcing it. So some of the things that are missing, Stream Connect, State Share, and Crowd Play, the features that allow you to join in other people's games, or I believe that you can connect to games through like YouTube when they were going to have that link or whatever, that is not coming. It's supposed to be out. They said, I expect the first game of Stream Connect to launch by the end of the year. Now, this may change, too, because we just had a late-breaking announcement with Stadia as well, so I'll get into that in just a sec. Their achievement system, not going to be coming right away. The ability to use the Chromecast Ultras to play games, not launching with that. Apparently, family sharing is not going to happen. If you want to play, if you're a parent and your kids have access to different accounts, you're going to have to buy the game separately for them right now.
So Google Stadia is about as finished as Minecraft Earth.
Yes.
Actually, Minecraft Earth is probably further along.
The Buddy Passes, apparently you get with the Founders Edition. So if you bought the Founders Edition, you get like a 3-month pass. Those will be coming out later. Or you're going to get emailed those later. The Stadia controller, apparently, even though people who pre-ordered the Stadia will get their codes assigned at the service starting November 19th, will be able to play on their phones and Chrome browsers. Apparently, some of the packages containing the controllers and Chromecast have staggered shipping, and those may not make launch. Whoops. So, what are the games going to be at launch? Originally, there was going to be just a total of 12 games at launch, and that kind of sucked.
Oh, is this our late-breaking news?
This is our late-breaking news.
Okay.
It is not 12 anymore. It is now going to be 22 games.
Oh.
They added 10 more games.
Oh.
So the day one games now that are going to – or I'm sorry. It's – yeah, that's only 15, though, that I see. Okay, well, let's see if I can put together the list here. So originally, the games that would be coming – so Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Attack on Titan 2, Final Battle. They said Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Let's see here. Their Destiny 2 was going to be one of the ones that had with Stadia Pro. That was going to be launching there. Some of the other games that are going to be coming.
Because Destiny 2 is the only one you get on the house.
Like, yeah, that's
people
Destiny
have to remember
collection.
This is not Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
This is a virtual console, meaning you're still buying games for said virtual console.
Yeah. Some of the other games coming, Farming Simulator 2019, Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager 2020, Grid 2019, Guilt, Just Dance 2020, Kine, Metro Exodus, Mortal Kombat 11, NBA 2K20, Rage 2, Rise of the Tomb Raider. I believe there's more. Two more Tomb Raider games that were in there as well. If I remember,
yeah, there's more stuff on this list.
Shadow Tomb Raider.
Yeah, Just Dance wasn't on the original list.
Yeah, that so. It was on the list, but it was one of the games that was coming later this year or possibly early next year. It wasn't one that was necessarily at launch.
Hmm.
Let's see what else was there here. I hate how they do this. So, yeah, Destiny 2, Guilt was going to be a game that's going to be exclusive to them. I think Just Dance 2020 was actually on the original list. Kind. Red Dead Redemption 2 was one. A Thumper. And then, of course, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, and Samurai Showdown.
Oh.
I think that's about all of them. But
well, I can't wait to hear what other people think about Stadia.
It's a lot of games that are already out on other systems, but I don't know. So
I think it's going to be more interesting when, like, anybody can just fire up a Chrome browser and try it. Like, I think that's going to be make a more compelling case for it, because right now it just seems like everything's really, like, bare bones. Like they might have rushed it a little bit. You know, it's funny because there's a lot of talk in chat, and I've heard the same stuff online about are the new Pokemon games rushed? And I don't know, but this Stadia thing, I mean, like, you want to talk about something that really feels like it's rushed. This Stadia launch is, like, especially when you hear everything that's not really going to be there, and games are being added and, you know, changed as we're coming up on the day. Like, it seems like it's really rushed what's going on over here.
So, it just doesn't sound like a really interesting prospect at all, because it's like, I get it. Like, if I didn't have a game console or something, I might be interested in it. But, like at this point, like, even, like, say, let's say, for example, I wanted to buy the Stadia thing in, you know, with the controller, which is, like, $100-some. Like, if you want to buy that Founders Edition or whatever. I mean, you could buy a used console nowadays. Like, and I'm sure you can get Xbox One or even Xbox One X for relatively cheap, probably like $200 or $300, and you know, you get Games Pass, and then you have access to probably all these games and more, like, yeah. for probably cheaper. Plus, then you're downloading stuff instead of actually having to stream it all the time, which is eating up your bandwidth caps. Because, like, you know what their solution was? And they had a comment, their solution for the bandwidth caps? Well, you see, the ISPs are going to see that this streaming service is popular, and they're just going to be generous and raise those bandwidth caps because people are using the service more. I'm like, what fucking universe are you on? Because this is not how anything works.
Well, actually, I'm going to give that guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that's the right way to phrase it, but I think it's if the consumer demand is there enough, especially in places where markets can be competitive. The unfortunate thing is most of us live in places where there's only one option. But especially in those competitive markets, you know, if that's going to sway people's decision as to what internet service provider they have and the demand is there for it, eventually it will raise. And here's the thing. So one thing we haven't talked about tonight, because it's technically not gaming, but I'm sure a lot of people have it on their mind, that Disney Plus launched this week, right?
Yeah.
And so Disney Plus is relatively cheap because y'all know what they're doing, right? It's a cheap price, get you hooked for the first, 3 years, right, that they're giving it. And then they're going to jack that price up after 3 years. Watch. Once everybody's hooked on it and they've beaten the crap out of their competitors and so forth. But anyway, I digress. My point is you can watch the Star Wars movies in 4K for $6.99 a month. Now, most people don't have that 4K streaming because you have to pay extra for it on Netflix. And I don't know what the other guys are doing, but let's be real. Like, the king of streaming right now has been historically Netflix. It's going to be interesting to see what Disney Plus does to that equation. But there's going to be a shit ton of people that are streaming 4K movies this month, because there's going to be people with that Disney Plus because it's dirt fucking cheap. How many families do you think are going to have a Star Wars marathon in 4K after Thanksgiving? Think about it.
After Thanksgiving. Already started.
Yeah. See, so there's going to be families that are like, we're going to watch all 7 movies.
I finally got my kids to watch Star Wars movies.
So are you watching it in 4K?
Probably.
So what
it's an HDR.
What do you think that's doing to your bandwidth? So my point is, people, like, this between Disney Plus and Stadia and all this shit, like, this conversation with ISPs and bandwidth is going to happen sooner rather than later.
I'm going to point out that I can watch the unedited, beautiful, original versions that only have the touch-ups on my Laserdisc player. Just saying.
You know what I have to say about that? McClunky.
But I don't have to deal with what's-his-face as Anakin. So.
I'm just going to say, though, like, fucking, like, I don't want to turn this into the Disney Plus podcast, but watching Tron from 1982 in fucking high definition, 60 frames a second, was fucking sexy. Like, I know you did this too, Darsakra, but Tron was the first thing I watched. Tron was the first thing I watched. You know what the second thing I watched was?
Tron Legacy?
No, Sister Act.
That's what my wife's making us watch next week.
I will
yes.
point out, the first thing we actually watched was The Mandalorian. But the next thing I watched after that was Tron, and then Tron Legacy, and then Dan wanted to watch The Love Bug.
You know what? I'm going to go on record. You can quote me on this. Fuck The Mandalorian. You know why? Because apparently Disney Plus is getting Sister Act 3. That
Mandalorian.
What? Seriously? This is huge news.
Apparently, script writers have been hired, and there's this whole thing going on. Whoopi Goldberg, she's playing Dolores. I almost said Dolores Claiborne.
No.
Dolores Van Cartier. She's playing that on the West End production with Jennifer Saunders from Absolutely Fabulous playing Mother Superior, which I would die to see that production. I really would. But anyway, and apparently all this is bringing awareness back to Sister Act so that Disney will go forward with Sister Act 3, which is supposed to be a Disney Plus thing.
Oh, that'll be amazing.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, sorry. Where were we?
We were just talking about that last night. Why isn't there a third one yet? Well,
wait. Disney Plus is going to make all our dreams come true, hopefully. I would be here. You know what? When I was watching Sister Act, all I could think was, like, there really needs to be a remake of this movie starring Bob the Drag Queen. Am I right, Dark Sakura? Like,
yeah.
Like, Bob the Drag Queen as Dolores Van Cartier would be, or even if it was like the joke.
It either
is,
have to be Bob or Monet.
I think
Bob would be better.
I think
though.
Bob the Drag Queen is the superior pick over any RuPaul's Drag Race screen. But maybe that would be the gag, is that instead of a nightclub singer, it is a drag performer. And
that
Bob plays, you know, both, you know, male Bob and female Bob. So I would love that.
Watch that.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Disney. Hey, Disney. Hello. straight guy said he would watch Sister Act with Bob the Drag Queen. Do you understand what's happening here on this day? Make it happen.
Do the thing.
Anyway, that's the only remake in history I would support. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, Google Stadia. Yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah.
Everything goes to drag queens, Rob.
How long before that crashes and burns? I mean, really. Because I think, if anything, like Microsoft, their offerings that they have with xCloud is far superior than what you're going to get with Stadia. Because eventually, with the xCloud stuff, we're talking like Games Pass is going to be supported on that. And who the fuck cares about Stadia at that point?
I don't think this year is going to matter for Stadia. It's going to matter most when Google flips that switch where they say anybody with a Chrome browser, whether that be your shitty little Chromebook, whether that be a phone, now Google Stadia is something for you to try. And we have this limited Destiny 2 experience for free for everybody to try to see what this is all about. That's the moment that's going to break Google Stadia. This year, I kind of think, is a giant beta test. That's what it feels like to me anyway. Anyhow, but we'll see. Bobby Blackwolf's actually getting one. He's hoping he has one before his next show so we can talk about it a little more on the show.
Well,
so,
cool.
And I know there's some Google Stadia-centered podcasts out there, so I'm curious to hear what folks have to say about it. But I've got other games to play right now. I'll let y'all beta test it and tell me how it is, and then I'm going to wait for them to unleash it for, you know, where I don't have to drop $100 or whatever it is up front. I can just – because I do have a shitty little Chromebook, and if the Stadia thing works well and I do more business traveling, maybe it would give me incentive to take my Chromebook with me when I travel if I could actually play decent video games when I travel. So I'm open to it. Let's see it. All right. Moving on. Let's get to our next story, which has to do – oh, so we're kind of back on Pokemon a little bit because there's been a lot of Twitter outrage. You don't say. There was this hashtag going around – all of Twitter that was hashtag Game Freak lied. And of course, in response, there's a hashtag thank you Game Freak as well. But why were people angry about Pokemon and Game Freak lied? Well, because apparently one of the examples given was that there was a wireframe Bulbasaur from Sword and Shield, which is weird to me because fucking Bulbasaur isn't in Sword and Shield. Bulbasaur was one of the Pokemon that was cut, so I don't know if they dug it out of the files or what. But anyway, there's a wireframe from Bulbasaur from Sword and Shield, and apparently it's the same wireframe from Sun and Moon. Gasp. But then this 3D artist on Twitter actually starts to disseminate why it doesn't fucking matter what it – because it does – there are differences, and she kind of breaks down like what's going on. And that you could actually take the wireframe from Pokemon Quest for mobile phone games, and it would be the same as what you see in any of the other Pokemon games.
It's not the wireframe. It's not the model that they're changing. It's the textures on top of it.
So fans, and I'm using that loosely because I think if you're going so far as to send death threats to the developer, which is,
please just
is
stop
trash.
Doing that. When has ever a death threat against a developer gotten something positive from it?
I would hope the listeners of this show aren't the ones participating in that. I'd like to think they are. So I don't think we need to lecture you guys on that. But, you know, those folks apparently are mad because they were told that assets would not be reused, and then they were reused. If you want to see a lot of, like, the complaining, go to the Pokemon Reddit. There's a dude on the Pokemon Reddit who every day is doing one family of Pokemon that was put down or that was will no longer be seen. It's so fucking dramatic in, like, Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I'm just kind of like, okay, look. I understand where people were frustrated with the dex cuts. Even at first, I was very much like, well, I mean, Pokemon does say gotta catch them all, and you're not going to really be able to catch them all in this game. But, you know, now that I've, like, actually played the game, I'm kind of like, there's enough to see and do. You know, it's going to be fine.
Maybe they'll just add them in later on.
I don't think they will. I think at this point, because of all the belly aching and stuff going on, I think in the next Pokemon game, Gen 9 or whatever, I think they're going to go back. But, I mean, Pokemon Gen 9 is probably not going to happen until, like, 2026 at this point, because it's going to take them so long to put in all those other Pokemon. I don't know. Anyway, so there was this big hashtag that was going around on it, and a lot of it had to do with the model remake and that whole thing, but but Dexit, as they're calling it, was a big part of that as well. I don't know. Now that I've played the game, I'm like, whatever, it's fine. Like, it's not the end of the world. In fact, it's a pretty decent Pokemon game. And if you think about it, like, when you played Pokemon Gen 2, you didn't unlock the Gen 1 Pokemon until after you beat the game. And there's a lot of Pokemon games that have had more like limited things where all the Pokemon are kind of like post-game and stuff. So I think people are just – I mean, it was 800 Pokemon. It would have been almost like too many to wrap your head around. So like I think it's okay. It's going to be okay, people. The game came out fine. So
it kind of reminds me of DDR, actually, that you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Because you can't put all of the old songs back in there, you know, as that, much as you want.
That's music licensing, you know? You know, I could understand, especially like they should have just always been like, we're just going to cut the legendaries because it's going to throw off the balance. You know, I could understand where maybe they're trying to make a shift in the competitive space for Pokemon by cutting all those legendaries and the Pokemon that people always use. Like, in a way, it's actually kind of interesting because now that they've reshuffled everything with Sword and Shield, it's like it's going to cause the competitive scene to kind of be rebooted and different combinations will be looked at and reevaluated. So I kind of think it's interesting in that regard, for what it's worth. So, yeah, and then we have this really disgusting stuff thing where it's like some people were upset with reviewers for scoring the game so high. Yeah, the same people that were pissed off when they said too much water, 7.3 or whatever it was. Like, it's the same fucking people. They're just mad about something. And then SJ100 Matt talking about how CerebiNet is getting threats for posting the news. Like, gross. Like, their fans just people need to calm down. You need to calm down. The game's fine. Go play the game and then tell me what you think. I mean, is it perfect? No. But is it good enough? I think so. Anyway. Moving on. Darksakura, you have more Pokemon news, right?
I do. For folks who had Let's Go Pikachu or Let's Go Eevee, well, you can obtain them in Sword and Shield if you have a save file from one of those games, which means I need to borrow one of your copies of whichever one of the Let's Go's you have so I can get a save file and then give it right back to you.
Yeah. I have Let's Go Pikachu, and I'll give you a – so here's a tip. Mm-hmm. You can't evolve the Eevee you get for free with
this.
Okay. However – well, you don't get an Eevee anyway with Let's Go Pikachu, but – On and this isn't a spoiler, I think, to say if you need an Eevee, go to Route 4. Eevee's there, but just may take a little bit before you see it. Because I caught an Eevee on Route 4. However, he's a little fucker. Like, I had to use, like, I tried, like, 3 regular Pokeballs, 2 Great Balls, and I think 2 Premier Balls. I think finally the fucker – and, like, he was down to 1 hit point. I fault swiped him down to 1 hit point. And paralyzed him with my little Yamper. Those things are so fucking cute. Have you seen the Yampers? They're little corgis with yellow hearts on their butt. They're so cute. Anyway.
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah, right? So anyway.
I need a plushie.
Corgimon.
Yeah. So I paralyzed him with Corgimon and false swiped him down to 1 hit point. And the little fucker would not get in the ball for like 7 balls.
Get in
and
the ball, Shinji. Wait.
Finally. Finally,
you
I should have
named him Shinji.
I know. Finally, I caught that fucking Eevee. So that one will evolve because I caught him on Route 4.
Well, at any rate, as Rob just said, you get a freebie of one of them, depending on the version. I was also looking at the Gigantamax forms, and you get Fat Pikachu. You also get Long Cat Meowth.
You do. You just go into your mystery gifts and connect to the internet right now, and you will get a Long Cat Meowth.
Mm-hmm. Long Cat Meowth is the best. Like, but at any rate, the other Gigantamax forms are Charizard, Meowth, and Butterfree. And it's old school Meowth, by the way. It's not new fuzzy one, so yay.
Yeah, there's a Galarian Meowth that looks like a hobo, kind of met with a Viking. It's kind of interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. So, but at any rate, yeah, you can get to freebies if you have the old versions.
Cool. So a little benefit for those of you that played Let's Go Pikachu just long enough to get to Pokemon Go Park and then stop playing, like me.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. What else is going on in Nintendo's world, Lucky?
Apparently, Nintendo published a brand new game on the eShop called The Stretchers. And The Stretchers is out on Nintendo Switch. And it's a game where I guess you play like an ambulance crew. But I know the gameplay that I watched didn't necessarily just have like ambulance stuff. Like they were mowing down things with a lawnmower. But it is a co-op game. And it's very strange. So... yeah, they said residents of a town are suddenly struck by dizziness and you need to help getting them to the hospital. You have to avoid obstacles and stuff.
Pixel Pacas in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, the Stretchers gives me big, crazy taxi vibes. Well, that's an endorsement to me.
Yeah, it looked weird from, like, the screen, the video that I saw, but, I mean, the art style reminds me a lot of, actually, Fortnite, which is kind of weird, just because it's so colorful and cartoony. But, yeah, it is, it looks fun. And definitely different than the other Nintendo stuff. But, yeah, I do see, like, Nitro ambulances and stuff.
So this is an actual Nintendo game, not some indie release on, I mean, not that I make it sound like I'm poo-pooing those indie releases, but, you know, there's a lot of them on the Switch. This is an actual Nintendo game that's kind of in there, right?
Yeah. And so what's kind of cool, though, is a lot of the stuff, because it is a co-op game, a lot of, like, the things that you're doing, you're kind of coordinating with other people. Like, they had, like, I just saw a screenshot where they're doing moving a bomb together. So one person's controlling one end of the stretcher, the other person's controlling the other end of the stretcher. And that's a lot of the things that are in there. Like, they'll have you sawing down a tree, or, like, you know, pushing a lawnmower or something like that. But because you have to kind of work together, controlling stuff is where it gets kind of crazy.
That sounds kind of silly, but fun.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's talk about this story, which was actually posted to our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. You can join our Discord server, and people leave little stories, ideas for us there in Channel Orange Lounge Radio. And sometimes, especially on a week like this, I really turn to what you guys are posting to be like, well, what are they – if I don't know what to talk about, what do the listeners want us to talk about? And I thought this was a really good one, because even though it's that rumor status, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I could see this happening because this is what's going on in our game industry these days. But apparently BioWare is actually working on an overhaul of Anthem, which some are referring to as Anthem 2.0 or Anthem Next. So there's a Kotaku report out there that says that BioWare developers in Edmonton and Austin are actually doing an overhaul of the game, enough for it to be Anthem 2.0 or Anthem Next. Unknown at this time if it will be updates, an all-at-once expansion, or an entirely new game. But it's going to change the main systems, the mission structure, the loot, and the game world drastically. Splitting the current game world into segments, meaning developers could work on certain areas without worrying about bugs attacking other areas, because right now it's all one big world, and that can happen. I'm kind of giggling because I see on the side all these sales of, like, Anthem for $10 right now. I'm like, yikes. But, you know, this is the day and age of gaming now in the year 2019, is that it is possible to reboot, relaunch your game, and be successful. Hello, Diablo 3, Final Fantasy 14,
it's possible,
No Man's
but
Sky.
This shouldn't be the norm.
It shouldn't, and yes and no. Like, I can kind of applaud a developer who recognizes that their game sucked and they go back and redo it. Like, I just never expected EA to be the one to do it. Because EA, you would think, is typically the one that's, we're just going to yank, pull the plug, be done with it, write it off.
They still might, because it could be all rumor.
We're going to close BioWare, you know, which I hope doesn't happen. I mean, please don't misunderstand me. But that's just what you kind of come to expect from EA. So if they really are going back and giving this a second shot, then maybe it's a sign that EA is trying to do better and not be so evil anymore. And that would be quite something going into the next decade. But we'll see. But they do say as well that, you know, they're not giving up on Anthem. This is something that's being worked on more. I could see maybe a relaunch for PlayStation 5 and the next Xbox. There might be a narrative there for an Anthem redo for those systems. But
you know, I would seriously hold
still
off.
Still don't
on
give
that.
A shit.
They're going to have to come a long way to win me over. However,
any more Mass Effect?
Well, funny you should mention that. Because this same rumor/report says BioWare's still working on Dragon Age 4, and a new Mass Effect game is in very early development. Mike Gamble is the one directing it, who worked previously on Mass Effect 2, 3, and Anthem.
Well, as long as it isn't, you know, the half-assed thing that Andromeda was, that had so many missteps in it. I mean, I had fun with Andromeda, don't get me wrong. But no more dead eyes, please. And no more dead naming.
I'm so curious about, are they going to attempt to do something in Shepard's timeline or what? I could see them doing a parallel story to Shepard. I think it's something they could get away with.
You know what I want?
Huh?
The aftermath.
Hmm.
Based on your ending.
Yeah.
I mean, that would, though, be really weirdly dynamic. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you did like the... the Space Magic version or the Shepherd Lives version or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I personally want a Shepherd Lives version.
Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously that is a huge rumor. We don't know a damn thing about it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to find that EA is not going to walk away from Mass Effect, and thank God. But, you know, just...
Maybe rebuild your store so I can get another N7 hoodie.
Just remaster the fucking original trilogy already. Just... You know, PlayStation 5 and next Xbox are coming out. Remaster the original trilogy for them. I think it would make a lot of people happy, and it would buy you a lot of fucking time to make a good Mass Effect follow-up. That's, and I'm going to leave it at that. Throw Andromeda in there, too, if you want. All right. Moving on. Darsakra, from newer games to retro games, right?
Yes. One of my favorite series is Fantasy Zone, because I love the Opa Opa. So they are doing another Sega Ages Fantasy Zone, and it's going to have some neat stuff in it. This information comes from Gematsu. There's actually screenshots. It looks pretty good, but it's going to have a coin stock system where basically you can save these coins that you collect, and then you can use them to increase like your time limit for your shots or the amount of coins enemies will drop and things like that. Extra bosses, which includes some of the Sega Mark III bosses that appeared. You also can have the arcade extra boss battles. And then you can configure your settings. It has Oopa Oopa mode, which stars Opa Opa's little brother. And so it has no shot bubbles. You can start playing by withdrawing your savings from the coin stock. As long as you have a budget, all weapons can be used at any time, and it's a slightly different ending. You also have a time attack mode with infinite lives, and you just have to... It looks like there's a boss run in there. And then other features for Sega Ages is the original shipped arcade version and the new arcade version. It says that there are unique elements such as the base marker, BASE, that indicates the position of your base off-screen. And online leaderboards replays an HD rumble. So it's looking pretty good. And it's got like some screen overlays. It's very interesting. But I freaking love Fantasy Zone.
Well, and these, you know, and I agree with Dark Tetsuya in our chat, who says, I've been following these Sega Ages titles. They really go the extra mile. And they do, like these Sega, you know, retro revival games in the Sega Ages series, they really bring it. Like, it's not just the freaking ROM running in high resolution. Like, it's, you know, they really go back and add a lot of value to it. So I'm really hyped to see this. Now, interesting also, Dark Tetsuya says, the one I really want is Shinobi when it comes out. Oh, yeah, that would be cool, too. So... YYR says, these features basically sound like what they put into the 3DS versions of Fantasy Zone and Fantasy Zone 2. It sounds identical. So
Fantasy Zone 2 is great as well.
Yeah.
The Tears of Opa Opa.
So, will you be checking this out when it releases?
Duh.
I know you're a big Fantasy Zone fan, so.
I came really close to buying a Sega Genesis Sega Ages Fantasy Zone, and then I found out it was a repro, so I didn't.
Don't.
But, man, I would love to have, though, the Sega Saturn Ages version.
Yeah. Keep an eye out. You never know what you might find.
That'd be rad.
All right. Well, moving on. All right, Tiger Claw, listen up, because I know you're excited to talk about this. And actually, a lot of the internet's been talking about this week, and that is that redo of Sonic. The new trailer actually hit the internet this week, and I think he looks a lot better.
It looks way better.
Yes, very much.
Wow.
Way better.
And you said you couldn't reboot a game. How about that? They went back and they really, I mean, and that's pretty impressive for just, what, a few months that they've been working on it. But now, instead of looking like this, like, disgusting, like, hybrid of human and hedgehog, Song that the Hedgehog looks like Sonic the Hedgehog. I mean, maybe a little bit, like, long in the legs and still humanish body, but, like, the face is so much better.
I think it looks just fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks really great.
Yeah. And even the trailer itself, like, and that yelling, like, that same yelling sequence.
I've seen the side-by-sides, and when you go back and look at the old one, you're like, oh, my God, it looks so terrible.
It looks like a parody at this point. But even the new trailer, like, they don't use Gangsta's Paradise. They use a different song. Like, even the trailer was just cut better. And it goes, and Jim Carrey looks pretty fucking funny, I gotta say. I know you're a big fan of Jim Carrey.
Of course.
Yeah,
so yeah, I really can't wait to see the movie. It looks pretty great now, yeah. And I'm glad that they went back and fixed it. And so, yeah, along with that, and of course, a lot of people really liking the redesign, and one of the best parts about it. So, apparently, you can thank the artist from Sonic Mania who helped work that out with Paramount. So, Tyson Hesse, they said, honored to have been brought in to lead the design on the new movie Sonic, working with Jeff and the modelers, rigorous texture, fur artists, and animators in L.A., London, and Vancouver was a thrill I'll never forget. And, yeah, I mean, looks great. So coming out in Valentine's Day, and I'll check it out.
That's so interesting that, like, how the video game series has kind of ended up impacting the movie, and especially this particular one that was like a fan kind of really fan driven type of game has now had such a positive impact on the movie. Like, fans have saved the franchise.
I think, I mean, definitely this has a way better chance of being successful now than it was before. I think that's for sure.
Well, I think there's so many more people now on social media that are like, oh yeah, I'll see this now. And even like, you should support. And it goes so far as to make people think the whole thing has been a hoax this whole time, that we've been hoaxed this entire time, and that this is all planned so that the internet would rally behind this redesign and that we would all go to the theater and support it. And it's the conspiracy theories have been astounding me online this
you
week.
You know what, though? Like, if that's their plan and that's what they pulled off, then props
great
to them.
Great fucking plan. Good job. You
it,
great
it,
plan.
It was a risky plan, but you know what? People could have just said they don't give a shit about it, and that's it. But yeah, I mean,
VG Realness says, I just really question why they thought the first trailer and vision they had was okay. Well, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen Hollywood fuck up video game movies several times before. Like,
Mario.
Who greenlit that Mario Brothers movie? Seriously.
You know,
like, I think Miyamoto was, like, angry. I think Miyamoto's eyes actually did that whole, like, you know, like, anger face type of thing. Like, rawr, and, like, anger emoji.
Did you ever watch the documentary about it?
I think I did watch part of it.
There was actually a pretty good documentary about making that movie and about like what it originally was going to be. And it was actually supposed to be a far better movie, but they rewrote the movie while it was being filmed.
Yeah. Yikes. So,
but hey, there's a new Mario movie coming. What, in a few years? So
yeah, but that's an all animated one to kind of go with the theme parks.
Have
right?
you ever watched though the original animated one? It's weird. It's really freaking
no,
weird.
I don't think I ever have.
It's the whole thing's on YouTube. Fans upped.
Yeah.
It's just really freaking weird.
And then also, obviously, the Street Fighter movie was pure camp. I mean, people find things to like about the Street Fighter movie. Like, you know, Raul Julia owned it. Like, you know, he was definitely like Gina Gershon in Showgirls.
That's his last role, though.
He knew exactly what movie that was, and he lived it up. You know, what was it? You know, for me, it was just Tuesday. Like, just the you know, and Kylie Minogue as Cammy, you know, all the little, you know, yay, yes. Yeah, I mean, that movie was not
great.
Yeah,
but, like, here's the weird part about that, the Street Fighter, the movie or whatever. Then they had the Chung, now I know you've forgotten, but they had the Chung-Li movie that came out.
Oh, you know, I didn't forget about that. I just, well,
wasn't that
didn't.
Worse than the Street Fighter movie? Like, did it get worse? It's like, we're rebooting Street Fighter. Oh, but how'd you make it worse?
But it is interesting how the internet and that whole campaign had this impact, and usually I don't support the internet anger campaigns, right? I just made fun of the Pokemon one, right? But like the one for Sonic is the first time I can go, wow, that internet hate campaign did some good. Like,
but that was accomplished with people saying, you know, not sending death threats. It was just like, we don't support this. We're not going to go see it because it looks terrible. Not, I want to kill you because you didn't do the thing I wanted you to do. That's the difference.
Yes. Metal Mayhem does have the... Okay, here's the bad video game movie. Ready? Metal Mayhem says the Double Dragon movie was 100% pure USD grade A ass.
Yes.
It was pretty bad. It was... Wow. Anyway. All right.
I got to see that as a screener.
Really?
That was a long time ago. And I was like, ooh, I'm super excited. And then I watched it like, not excited anymore.
All right. All right, well, there you go. So there's our Sonic movie discussion. Now, Tiger Claw, stay tuned, because Sonic comes up again later in the show, all right? Don't tune out. All right, here we go. But for now, I want to move on to this announcement, which I think is interesting. On our last live episode 2 weeks ago, we were talking about BlizzCon, and Diablo 4 was one of the big announcements that came out of BlizzCon, right? Well, you remember when Diablo 3 first came out and it was kind of like not great, I think people were turning to alternatives like Torchlight and another game that was free to play called Path of Exile. And Path of Exile is still going after all these years and, you know, has had several expansions. And once again, thanks to Discord this week, it was brought to my attention that a Path of Exile 2 was announced this week. How convenient, right on the heels of Diablo 4 being announced. But what's interesting, so I didn't even know there was an ExileCon, but apparently there is. But they showed this launch trailer for Path of Exile 2, which we're showing you a little bit of that on Twitch here, so you can see some of the gameplay here after some of these cutscenes. But what's interesting about it is a brand new 7-act story that's 20 years after the events of the first game. And I have to admit, when I was watching this trailer for the first time, I was like, well, this looks an awful lot like the original. I mean, not that it's a bad thing. The original, I've played Path of Exile. It's a, especially when you consider it's a fucking free game, it's really good, you know. So I was like, gosh, this looks just like the original. Well, here's the reason. Because Path of Exile 2, it's not a new game. It is essentially a expansion for the first game. So when Path of Exile 2 launches, it's going to be the first game and the second game side by side. And this new story will be 7 acts long. So yeah, it's not a new standalone title. And I think this is also interesting because I was kind of poking fun at Overwatch 2 on our last show, going, I'm not so sure Overwatch 2 is a sequel as much as it is an expansion, but okay. You know, okay, it still looks like it'll be good enough, and I think a lot of people will be into it. And now here we have Path of Exile 2, and they're just up front saying it's kind of 7 acts for the first game. We're just branding it as Path of Exile 2. So I mean, but again, this whole series is free. They make their money off of cosmetics and these expansions.
Kind of like, you know, you could say the same as Fortnite. Chapter 2.
Sure.
You know,
it's
a new game, but no.
Okay, yeah.
Not really.
That's a great way to put it. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, I'll check it out. I mean, the price is certainly right. I think I've dropped, like, a little bit of money on Path of Exile just to kind of show my support. But Path of Exile is on, what, PC? It's on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I don't think it's on Switch, but who knows? Maybe just a matter of time before it's there. So, there you go. Path of Exile 2. It's coming. Anyway, moving on to a somewhat somber topic, Dark Sakura.
Yeah, I was very sad when I found out. Thanks, Rob.
Well, yeah. I thank our Discord once again, because this was brought to my attention on Discord, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's sad.
So Onogi Nobuyuki, who was a Namco composer and considered the father of video game music, died very recently at age 63, which, I mean, still pretty young.
That's pretty young.
He was born in 1956 in Shizuoka. And he was an engineering major from Chiba University. And he applied to Namco in 1980. And he was just doing general programming stuff. And they liked the end music he made for Rally X, the high score music. And they're like, hey, we want you to be our sound designer. And he's like, okay. And so thanks to him, we have the soundtrack for Mappy. And he did a lot of other work, mostly, though, effects and programming work for the music.
But
so not
still,
necessarily the composition.
Those sounds in those early 80s Namco games are iconic. You know, like, you hear those distinctive sounds, and you know, like, oh, this is a product of the 80s.
But Mappy,
you know,
was his first full composition. He also did other games, one called Libble Rabble, one called Warp Man, and Metro Cross. Those were the ones that he did music composition in. But other games that he worked on start with Warp, Rally, New Rally X, Galaga, Bosconian, Pole Position, Pole Position 2, Xevious, The Tower of Druaga, Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, Hot Scramble, Wizardry, The Quest of Key, looking at some others on here, Family Circuit, another Wizardry game, a couple Wizardry games. And the last one he did was Family Circuit 91 in 1991. So there you go. So May his memory be a blessing, and thank you for all of the good music. I'm trying to see what he actually died of.
Have they just not said out of respect or what have you?
Yeah. Because
that is a very young age to pass, so.
Yeah, I didn't say what exactly, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I think along that note, let's move right into our classic game of the week, because I think you're going to tie it together a little bit tonight. As usual, Dark Soccer likes to jump into the gaming vault every week and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check this game out this week. And obviously, it's no secret that this week's selection will be pretty timely with this in mind. Also, while we're in the classic game of the week segment, for those of you that are watching live on our Twitch broadcast on Sunday night, we are going to open up the community gift chest. So if you would like to if you are a Twitch Prime person and you want to put in some gifts, I believe tonight the giveaway is for League of Legends Team Fight Tactics. It's a Twin Egg and Skin Shard. You can contribute to the pot there, and when the segment is done, we will give those away to random viewers there. So I think I've enabled it, but if I haven't, Bobby Blackwolf will hopefully help me save the day here and turn that on for us here so we can donate to the community chest while Dark Soccer takes a trip down memory lane with the classic game of the week. So Dark Soccer, what did you pick for tonight's classic game of the week?
I picked a game that he was actually uncredited on for the soundtrack, but it was Libble Rabble, which I mentioned earlier during the last story. So it came out in 1983. It was a puzzler that was put out in Japan by Namco. And you basically take two colored arrows, one called Libble, the other Rabble, to wrap around pegs and surround small creatures called mushlins. And you have to harvest them by tying the ropes around them, like you're cordoning them off. It almost gives me a slight little bit of a Kix vibe, in some respects, you know? But you also uncover treasure as you go along, so you can search through them, and then you, once you get the right treasures, you get a bonus stage. And it had its own software, actually. It ran on, I'm sorry, hardware. It was called the Namco Libble Rabble hardware. And I think it was like one of two games that ran on it. But it was also called the Namco System 16 Universal, which was an 8-bit arcade system. And it actually predated the Sega 16 version, so the name wasn't a rip or anything. And the only the only other game that ran on it was a game called Toy Pop. So, which is actually a multi-directional shooter game. So, going back though, it did have a North American release planned, but it got canceled. Its original incarnation was a game called Potato, and it was created by the Pac-Man creator Iwatani Toru. And of course the music done by Onogi. Iwatani became a little bit too overwhelmed with other projects that you know were going on at the time, so it was passed on to Sato Makoto, who brought in the treasure chest concept and other things that are built into the game, like bonus stages and whatnot, because it's considered a little too simplistic.
Can I just say, I'd never heard of this game before you selected it for the game of the week, and I'm getting kind of a Kix vibe from it.
Yeah,
but like
that
with
was
like
what I thought.
That strange, like, kind of two-player element, like,
but
where...
it's one player.
Oh, really?
I believe it is.
That's what it looks like. It looks like it's almost... So that's really interesting. So it's one person kind of controlling both little arrows there.
I think so.
Interesting. Well, I guess you could easily make it two-player then. But very interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was just like... Especially for those that can't see the video, I bet a lot of you probably haven't heard of this game either. And it's got this strange Kix meets... Clue Clue Land?
Yeah,
maybe?
Because of the pegs, because you have to wrap
around
the
pegs. Yeah,
because
you're wrapping things around the pegs, yeah.
And capturing what's inside. Well, it's Libble, Libble, Rabble, Rabble. So, something to, if you're going to look it up. At any rate, though, it was really praised for how unique the gameplay was. I haven't seen any other games exactly like this, and it's considered a cult classic. It's bizarre, but very addictive, some people have said, and one of the most unappreciated Namco games out there. There was a Super Famicom version that came out in 1994, and also home ports for the FM Towns Marty and the Sharp X68000, both systems I've done as classic systems. And the Super Famicom version had a cover for the D-pad, so you could use the twin stick gameplay. Also an early twin stick game, I should add. It was digitally re-released for the Wii Virtual Console in 2009. And yeah, even one of the sources that I looked up for research on this did a big comparison with Kix. But at any rate, you also have different enemies that try to stop you, and of course, you know, they can put an end to your, you know, rapping shenanigans. But the whole point in the end is basically a corralling game.
YYR is curious how you lose, because in this playthrough we're looking at, they're doing very well.
I think when your arrows, I think it's your arrows getting hit, but hold on, let me see. The player loses a life if any of the assorted critters touch one of the arrows, or if he or she runs out of time. So the border is your timer, and you can boost that time by looping more mushrooms and plants. You gain an extra life at 40,000, 120,000, 200,000, 400,000, 600,000, and 1 million points by default. After the 10th season, your counter will stop at 90. Your season counter will stop at 99, similar to how
Galaxian. Oh, there. He just lost a life because he ran into the... Yeah.
And
okay.
King and Balloons will work the same way. So it was... I mean, like I said, it was started... The concept was started off by the creator of Pac-Man. And he said that he conceptualized the game based on an experience he had at a crowded disco in the 80s. He said he envisioned himself using ropes to tie people up and throwing them out of the way. And, you know, it also had to do with some games he played in his childhood. And so they initially called it Potato because Namco was considering a tie-in with a Japanese potato chip manufacturer, but that fell through. And so they actually had to create new software for the game because it was... had new graphical effects. It was a pretty big game for its time, so they needed that dedicated hardware for it. And like I said, this was passed on to Sato Makoto. And then after looking at the prototype, Sato said, hey, this is too simple. And so got the idea for using treasure chests and uncovering them by the Apple II version of Wizardry. So there you go. And of course, the music was done by Orogi.
There's like a dragon in that one. This is a neat pick, just because like this game has kind of been erased from a lot of people's memories, and I don't think it's been in any Namco collection that I can think of. So
we didn't get it in the U.S. at all, in any way. Although the soundtrack did get released for iTunes in 2011.
Oh,
I don't know if it got a U.S. release.
And I just quickly want to say, some folks in chat pointed out, because you know we have a lot of music game fans in chat, and Namco's done a few music games over the years, like Technic Beat. Orange Wright points out some people know this game from the remix in that rhythm game of Technic Beat. So you may have, you know, heard the song before.
Well, and then the versions of it that came out at home, the only one anyone in the U.S. would have a relatively easy chance of playing would have been the Super Famicom version.
Yeah.
Because the other systems that came out on were the FM Towns Marty and the X68000, which were both, I mean... right now, crazy expensive to get. I mean, I'd love either of those. But you know, it's not on systems that were easy for an American to get a hold of. So,
well, I doubt anyone from Namco listens to this show, but on the off chance maybe somebody does, I think it would be great. You know, especially when you consider that you know Nobuyuki Onogi just passed. That maybe we could get some of these games on a modern... Maybe, like, Antstream is something that would be, like, perfect for something like this, where we could kind of revisit some of these old games and, you know, learn a little more about them and experience the soundtracks.
You know what else this makes me think of? And you're going to probably laugh about it.
What's that?
The lasso tool in Photoshop.
A little bit.
Because you know how you can click it around and the corral doesn't close up until you join the lines?
Yeah.
That's how the freaking lasso tool works, except you have to hit the anchor point, but still.
All right. Great pick for the classic game of the week. So for those listening live, we're going to give about 30 more seconds if anyone wants to make any last contributions there to the gift box. And then I'm going to ask Bobby to end that and divvy out the gifts. It's like an early Christmas. After all, you know, the Christmas decorations are already going up, even though Thanksgiving hasn't.
There's already music.
I'm already sick.
Please tell me I'm not the only one that's heard. Okay, so there's this meme going around, and last week it was Toad singing Sia's Chandelier, and it's just that really, like, high-pitched screech that, gasp, gasp. hey, like it's just really like annoying. But today there, I saw one that was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas done by Toad.
Which I refuse to listen to.
You need to, because the Toad version, because I like cried from laughing so hard. It was so
terrible.
I am
avoiding the Mariah Apocalypse. I have not heard the song in 2 years.
Oh, are you playing the what is it, the Wham Apocalypse, where like you have to avoid George Michael's
the Whamageddon.
The Whamageddon, that's it.
Because I don't mind the Wham song. Uh-huh. I fucking hate. I actually can't stand Mariah Carey. Because all of her fucking songs are like, I need a man to be happy. Bitch, you don't. You're rich. You don't need a man to be happy.
What about like Obsessed? She sings about a man who needs to leave her the fuck alone.
Oh, anyway. Still about a man. Just be happy. You should. Mariah needs to go. I will have respect for Mariah if she goes out a song that says, bitch, I'm rich. I don't fucking need you.
I kind of figured that was her attitude anyway.
I want her to do a song called Bitch, I'm Rich.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on and get into some rapid fire news. We're going to travel quickly around the industry and check out some other headlines from this week. Loki.
So there's this pretty awesome game that was made within Dreams. So the game is... It's very much like Wipeout. They called it, I'm trying to remember what it was called in here. It wasn't Wipeout. It was like Slide Out 3019, but it's very much like a Wipeout game, and it's fully playable in Dreams. I didn't realize, apparently, Dreams Early Access is a thing that you can purchase right now for $20.99 or $29.99, and you can actually play these games and make stuff.
I might get in on that, actually.
Because I know the full game's not out yet, but I didn't realize that they had... I thought it was like a beta thing that you had to get into, but apparently it is something they have been selling since April, so I see. So I may have to check that out. But yeah, if you have Dreams, definitely check that out because it looks pretty awesome. And it's just impressive the amount of things that you can make in Dreams and the quality of just the gameplay, the graphics, the sound, everything is just crazy. And then to go along with that is a brand new mod for Super Mario 64 called Super Mario 64 Land. It is a brand new fan-made game.
And that it's already gone.
Adds new levels, new bosses, and new power-ups and new music. And you can check it out. They have it available. I believe it's linked in the developer's video.
Well, as...
No, it's been taken down.
Of course, Nintendo lawyers shut that shit down the
next
day.
They got C&D'd a week ago.
Yeah, of course.
Really? Because I thought I just downloaded it. Okay, well... Maybe not. All right.
I might be thinking of another one, but I think I saw this like a couple weeks ago and it already got C&D'd.
No, it's not. It's out there still.
It may be like one link versus another link. But anyway, well, once on the internet, always on the internet, right? So.
Yeah. So Kaze Amanuar on YouTube, they have a video. It's linked in the description there. So it is still out there. I just checked. But you can patch your original Nintendo 64 ROM to play the game. It looks pretty awesome. It has all the different power-ups from Super Mario 3D Land and stuff. So, pretty sweet. That's it.
All right. Well, moving on to talk about Tetris Effect, a game that I hope a lot of you checked out on PlayStation 4 because it's great. But there's actually a PlayStation 4 dynamic theme that is actually up on the store that you can check out. It's actually based off Metamorphosis in Tetris Effect. So you can actually get this theme for your PlayStation 4 if you want to go like full in on Tetris Effect.
Yes.
And themes. And so it's, I mean, and obviously one of Tetris Effect's strong point is those very immersive themes.
Didn't it come with a theme when you bought the game? Because I swear I have a Tetris Effect theme right now on mine.
I think it might have, but this one is now free. So if it is this one, then this is now free for everybody. But I think it's a different one.
It might be a different one.
Anyhow. I know some folks are looking forward to the Witcher series that's coming out on Netflix. I don't know how many guys. I know everybody's talking about Disney Plus.
He looks like the character though.
Yeah, there's still some things to get excited about on Netflix, and I think the Witcher is one of them. Again, it's based on the books, not on the game, because the game was based on the books too. But obviously, there will still be some similarities. And if you are, kind of wondering, like, you know, is this just going to be a one and done type of thing? The answer is no. It was already unveiled that there is going to be a season 2 of Witcher on the way to Netflix. So not very often that shows get greenlit for a second season before the first has already debuted. but the buzz for this must be really, really good.
Speaking of games based on book series, I wonder if they're ever going to adapt Metro into a show, because I know those games are pretty awesome based on that book series as well. So,
well, there's what, 7 or 8 different subscription television services now, so there's plenty of places.
Somebody's looking for something.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's move on to Dark Sakura.
Wheel. Shovel Knight. There's new Shovel Knight stuff happening. The developer Yacht Club said that Shovel Knight King of Cards and Shovel Knight Showdown will both come out on December 10th. The first is a bonus campaign for the original, and the second is a multiplayer fighting game spinoff. It was supposed to come out last April, but it is coming out in December. So, yay. I didn't mean for that to sound as squeaky as it did. I'm losing my voice. And so Konami has applied for a new trademark for Goemon, as in the Mystical Ninja. And it says game program and game software, which the last one that came out was Goemon Tokai Dochu, which came out in 2005 for the Nintendo DS.
I can't wait for that Goemon Pachi slot machine. It's going to be awesome.
This is game program and software, which I think if they're putting a trademark for a Pachi slot, it has to be labeled as such. So, if I remember correctly.
Well, I mean, you know, we had a Castlevania collection that did pretty well. Not to say it would necessarily be just a Goemon collection, because we also had a new Bomberman game that did pretty well. So anything's possible, I suppose.
Yes.
All right.
And, those were...
All right.
Did I think
it.
I closed my other one?
No, that was it.
Okay.
The Shovel Knight and the Goemon, so...
I went over... My brain doing Shovel Knight.
All good. We are going to move on to release dates. We're going to travel around the world and check out what games are coming out to a store or shelf near you soon. I don't know if there's
not
a lot
much.
Left.
Yeah, we've kind of, the fourth quarter rush is kind of over. So this week we only have a few things, although there are some notable stuff. So Football Manager 2020, we've got that coming out on PC, iOS, and
soccer,
Android.
Not fake football, but real football.
Right. And then we have Shenmue 3 coming out on PC and PlayStation 4.
It's kind of a big deal.
That is. And
it's one of those, oh, finally!
Yes. And last but not least, Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Are you going to check out Shenmue 3, Dark Sakura?
We didn't even finish Shenmue 2.
Well, I mean, I would assume it's been so long that you probably don't have to have finished the first two games.
We'll see.
Yeah, I have a lot of curiosity about it, that's for sure. Anyway, Shenmue 3 also coming out in Japan, same date as the rest of the world. As far as other releases this week in Japan, on the 21st, we have Demo Reborn is coming out, as well as Sonic Forces getting a price reduction. I think the same thing is happening with BlazBlue Cross-Tag Battle. So we're seeing some price reductions over in Japan just in time for the holidays, even though the holidays are a little bit different over there. But we also have on the Nintendo Switch, we have that same BlazBlue Cross-Tag Battle. But we also get the localized version of LEGO Jurassic World comes out in Japan this week. Woohoo! And Diabolique Lovers Grand Edition for Nintendo Switch, both in a regular and limited edition package. There's also a deluxe edition version of Mutant Year Zero Road to Eden coming out. And there's actually, one more game, actually, because everything else here is for a different region. But Bukura no Keshigomu Otoshi plus Sports Set, is coming out as well, which looks to be actually, funny enough, I was just kind of like boo-hooing about no Clubhouse Games type of thing on the Switch from Nintendo. This actually kind of looks to be kind of like, it's like tabletop type of games. But it looks like you're, like, building cars and building, like, little soccer things. So it's like you, like, build these little creations and then play, like, ping pong type of games and racing games and things with them. So it kind of looks kind of interesting, like a build it and play it type of game. So that looks kind of neat. So I wonder if we have a localized version of that here. I don't think we do. It doesn't look familiar to me. How about Europe, Dark Soccer?
Quite a few things, actually. We have Football Manager 2020, VR Ping Pong Pro, Shenmue 3. Those are all on the 18th. On the 20th, we have Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts, Asterix and Obelix. We have BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle Special Edition on the 21st. Civ 6 on the 21st for PlayStation and Xbox. New Super Lucky's Tale on the 21st, Ghost Parade. Train Sim World Collector's Edition, Zumba Burn It Up. and Children of Morta, all on the 21st.
All right.
That's it.
Great. Well, we're going to move on and check the email. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the the chatters are hearing thumping. Was somebody thumping the mic? Just be careful.
No, but I was thumping the bass.
All right, anyway.
No, kidding.
Well, I mean, that party shut up right when our show started.
Yeah, good.
And it wasn't the same neighbors. Apparently, I have two neighbors that like to party.
I was about to go in your backyard and just scream.
I know you were. Anyway.
I'd do it too.
Well, I'm glad the thumping's gone. Sorry, guys. But moving on, let's get into our email bag. So every week, you guys email us, participate at orangelaunchradio.com, and we read our favorite emails here on the show. So apparently, we have one. Uno mail.
Do you believe the success of Nintendo Switch will push back against the trend of 60 gigabyte online required games? Also, bought Super Multitasking. Robert M.
No, I do not believe it will do that.
First off, YYR, yo us a quarter. Just kidding. No, that's great. I'm glad YYR's appearance on the last show got some coverage for Super Multitasking. That's great. The 60 gig trend, is the success of the Nintendo Switch going to reverse that? I'm going to give a nice big hearty no to that.
They're going to get bigger, but Nintendo's going to keep doing Nintendo's thing.
I'm kind of with you. I actually also would say Nintendo is kind of not immune to these gigantic downloads. I mean, they are smaller because the system doesn't necessarily handle full 1080p or what have you.
Or have the onboard storage to store 60 gigs.
Correct. But, well, I was going to say, wasn't like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 like a pretty gigantic game? It was at least 20, if not 30 gigs. So I wouldn't say just because the Nintendo Switch is smaller doesn't mean that they don't have gigantic games that exist on it. So, and The Witcher, like, didn't The Witcher have to download? And that was a huge download as well on Switch. So and Overwatch has to do that too.
I'm going to say NBA 2K also had like a thing.
Yeah. I don't think Nintendo Switch is really immune to this. And it's not going to change. There's always going to be the small indie hits, such as Super Multitasking is a great example there. You know, that's a much smaller game, not even 1 gig for that game. You know, sometimes good things can come in smaller sizes. But I think, you know, as we get into the next generation of games, when we talk about PlayStation 5, when we talk about the next Xbox, you know, it's going to be about bigger, better graphics, 4K, more frames a second, virtual reality. Games are only going to get bigger, yo. Unless streaming and the cloud can make up for some of that, which I think is especially going to happen on the Xbox side of things. We have yet to see what might happen on Sony's side of things. So to be determined when we know more about the system on how the data will work there. But I just think the games are going to get bigger. If not incorporating more streaming or something like that.
Well, one of the things we didn't talk about, which was a story that happened last week as well, was that patent that they had for Sony about a cartridge for possibly a PlayStation.
Oh, interesting, because we do know that solid state drive is where it's going to. So could they just be selling games that are on little hard drives?
Yeah, like it could be. I mean, like it could be solid state drives or like, you know, NVMEs or something like that, just inside some sort of cartridge shell.
Huh. It's like the modern day zip disk.
Except much faster, yes.
Yes, much faster.
Because those are actual disks still.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So interesting. I'll be very curious to see where that goes. Again, we don't know until Sony, you know, pulls back the curtain completely and shows us but wouldn't that be something if the Sony, the company that was kind of responsible in many ways for shifting the industry to CD-based stuff, you know, and then DVD.
And it still could be both.
Could, yeah, it's true. It could be both. And it may pull us back towards cartridge. Well, the Switch, I guess, is going to a cartridge format. But still, it'll be very interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, moving on then. If that was it for our email bag, we encourage you to email us in a future week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. In the meantime, Loki, what do we have in gaming news?
So there is a brand new feature that's being added to the Xbox One. It's basically like a shuffle button, or a new surprise me button is added to the Xbox One game library.
I don't know what I want to play. Pick for me.
Pretty much. That's exactly what it is. It says the button doesn't automatically launch a game, but it will basically do like a roulette and and pick a game for you.
Wheel of Misfortune. Turn, turn, turn. Show us a lesson that we should learn.
So it's like, you know, neat, I guess. But yeah, it'll just kind of at random pick something out for you.
That would be a I think that's going to be fun for streamers.
Okay, well, it doesn't actually do like a roulette thing, but it'll actually pick up, okay, here's a game, you know, and you pick the option and you're like, well, I don't want that, and then you can do something else.
Yeah, but that's still going to be a fun thing for streamers, I think, where it's like, you know,
I need that for Steam.
Microsoft pick. You need that for Steam?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. There's got to be like a plug-in or a mod or something that somebody's...
Well, they're supposed to, with the redesign of their UI, they're supposed to be doing some sort of thing where it's supposed to show you games you haven't, they're in your backlog, they haven't played in a while or ever, which is most of mine.
Yeah, I think this is a fun idea, especially when you're like, I don't know what I want to play. Pick for me.
Or like for Games Pass or something.
Yeah, especially if it's like stuff that's already installed on my end. I don't have to wait. It's like press the button
and
go.
Hey, did you remember that you purchased Kingdom Hearts 3 a while ago, but you had never played it? No, I completely forgot about that. I purchased Kingdom Hearts 3 and
never played
it.
Would you like to see the value of your $60 video
game? No.
Here's
how much you've wasted. I'm purchasing games that you'll never play. Remember all those deals that you thought that you just couldn't pass up, that $10 EA game? Well, you played none of them.
I would like to see, you know, a Nintendo use this on their classics library. You know, hopefully it gets bigger. Although, come to think of it, Nintendo hasn't expanded the
regular... I was just going to say, yeah. So have we gotten any new SNES or NES classics?
Nope. It's been a couple months, but nope, nothing yet. So wait for that next Direct, I guess.
I'm just not holding my breath anymore for them.
That's probably a good call. I would think there's still plenty of room to expand on the Super Nintendo side, but we'll see. Anyway, moving on, let's talk about Pokemon Go related news. And this is actually a really big deal. So Niantic Wayfarer actually opened up this week. This used to be Operation Portal Recon, which was Niantic's version of adding new portals or places of interest for the Ingress player base. What's very notable about this is that you don't have to play Ingress anymore if you want access to this. So now, if you have a Pokemon Go account that's level 40, I was about to say level 40 or higher, but level 40 is as high as you can go. So if you have a level 40 Pokemon Go account, you now have access to Niantic Wayfarer, and you can submit places of interest. You can submit, I think, 7 in a rolling 2-week period. Or you can also review other submissions that people have submitted.
And mine is still pending from May.
Wow. Well, give it a
little time. And I did that upgrade next, whatever the hell that did nothing.
Interesting. Well, give it a few more days, because now the Pokemon Go players are in there reviewing things, and I'm seeing more stuff get processed pretty quickly.
I don't know.
I've had 2 new things added just in the past week. So we'll see. So I got a brand new Pokestop by work. And I got a brand new Pokestop where, I guess I can say it, where the Mongolian barbecue place is here.
Mm.
There's now a Pokestop there because there's a church, a strip mall church right next door to it.
So, ah.
Convenient.
Mongolian barbecue sounds good.
I know. It's that place that looks like it hasn't changed since the 1970s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. But now folks can submit their own stops, and I think people are pretty excited about that. Granted, as an Ingress player... because Ingress is very PvP heavy, I've had my reservations about this, but I also realize that there's a big backlog of submissions on the Ingress side of things, because unfortunately
there is
faction bias coming into play, absolutely, which is stupid, and something needs to be done about it. So if Pokemon Go players can come in and help break the tie...
But faction bias, like, do they see which faction you are if you're voting on it?
I will tell you, I have submitted things in this area where I live, and I know that the opposing team sees that it's in this area, knows that it's near me, and denies it based on that.
Hmm.
So... I've seen people on our side do it too. I've seen the criteria applied a little stricter when a portal pops up on Vernon and Riverside over in Roseville than maybe when it does. Well, not so much anymore, but maybe a couple years ago. Like, you know, I would just, it not to say they just the criteria would be a little more stringent. So I think there is sometimes a little more a faction bias that comes into play. And I think the Pokemon Go players are going to help break that tie a little bit. My hope, though, is that because Ingress is very player versus player. Those little libraries on people's lawns better not fucking become places of interest everywhere. You know, it's fine if it's in a park or in a church parking lot because those are public accessible things. But, you know, like private places need to not become portals and stuff. And they really shouldn't be Pokestops or gyms either, just because you want one on your couch. So hopefully it's going to take a consensus of the players from both games to get things added. And I think at the end of the day, that'll be a good thing if that's the case. So anyway,
I just have a news flash, by the way.
What's that?
You know how I've been waiting for Detroit to Become Human to be out on PC?
Oh, is it now?
Release date, December 31st.
Oh. Oh, what a New Year's Eve present to yourself. How about that?
Yeah, I just thought I would make a mention.
Yeah. So anyway. So SG100 Matt says, Pokemon Go players on my Discord for my local area have been buying large sculptures for their front lawns to make it into Pokestops. They should save their fucking money, because any Ingress player, especially Azette, who is in our chat and I know has reviewed at least 10,000 portal submissions. How many is that? Are you at right now? The minute you see that that's on private property, deny. And I do the same thing. If it's in a residential neighborhood and on private property, I mean, if it's a park in a residential neighborhood, obviously that's okay. If it's a mural for a church that's like in a as long as, you know, I'll look at Google Maps and make sure it's denoted as a church and things like that. But for the most part, if it's in a residential neighborhood, we're fucking denying it, like, because that's not a valid place. And I'm not creeping in my car at 2 a.m. to throw a blocker for somebody's front lawn. And whoever, you know, you might think that's a good idea until that EX raid shows up at your house. And then, you know, everybody's there. That's going to be a bad idea. So if you think buying a sculpture for your front lawn is a good idea, don't. What is a good idea? Let's say you live in a really underrepresented part of the nation, like a rural part of the country, or you live in a country that, you know, is really poorly represented with stops, like Mexico or, you know, most of Central America and South America, for heaven's sake. Then the park, your public park nearby, the sign should be a portal. The playground structure should be a portal. If there's like a community garden, that should be a portal. All that stuff, submit them all, because they're all valid. Basketball courts, horseshoe places, all that stuff should be fine, but they should be at public places of interest, not your fucking toilet. So, no pooping stops unless it is a park restroom. All right. Anyhow. Azette, by the way, in our chat room, has reviewed 17,835. So, she's pretty infamous.
Can you review mine, please? It's been there since May.
You might need to send a support ticket, especially if you've had it upgraded. You should send a support ticket going, there's still no resolution.
I upgraded that months ago.
That's weird that it's still in the system. So, all right. Anyway, I'll be curious to see how this plays out. By the way, this is a chance for me to give a cheap shout out for the Pokemon Go podcast. I was a guest on their most recent episode this week, which I think should have hit their podcast feed today. If it didn't hit the feed today, then it will probably go up tomorrow. And I'm actually very much professionally pulling up, because it was live on Thursday, but I think it's a few days delayed. Oh, yes, there it is. It went up today. So episode 173 of the Pokemon Go podcast, I'm actually on it. So I urge you all to check it out and listen to it. And I talk about like Ingress and all that stuff as well. So check that out. So, all right. Thank you to the Pokemon Go podcast and to Joe over there for having me on this week. Charles had the week off, so it was just Joe and I on the show, but we had a good time. So, all right. Pod Culture says, what if you can hit a Pokestop from your shitter? If you happen to live, like, I think in your case,
I can't at work.
Yeah. In your case, Brad, you live across the street from a park. You've said this. So you're just in range. Then that's fine. You lucked the fuck out. Congratulations. And I know somebody else who lives in an apartment complex where there's like a community building, and the community building is a thing, and they can reach it from a certain part of their apartment. So, yeah. So it happens. You know, you could just consider yourself lucky. You happen to live by a major point of interest. Good job. All right. Moving on. Let's get into Dark Sakura. One of your favorite devs has something going on.
And I'm trying to buy it. Except the site's being stupid with my card number. So anyway. So a game that I have been pretty excited about coming out is Watum, as in what?
It is by the creator of Katamari Damacy, Takashi Keita. And it's got a release date, December 17th. And right now on the Epic Games Store, it is about $17. So super discounted. But it's going to be on PS4 and PC. There's going to be a Steam release at an unannounced date. But basically, you're a cube-shaped mayor person trying to get your weird townsfolk to get over their weird shit and help each other out, like including getting a balloon to get over its fear of heights. So, yeah, play a nice game that makes people play nice together. Be the weird cube mayor with a bowler hat. Have a friend that's a poo and a fork. What?
Nothing. I'm looking at chat for something else, but I'm interested in this game for sure. I want to check it out.
I have to play the shit out of this weirdness.
Yeah.
I like Nobi Nobi Boy.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I hate to go back to the Pokemon Go thing, but chatters, they get to say. And Matt found a statue that somebody put on their fucking lawn just to try to get a Pokestop. And it is an ugly-ass dog person. And I'm sorry, guys. I wish I could put this on the Twitch feed for you to see. But you can see it in chat. Like, Matt just posted it there. It is this ugly-ass dog thing that looks like... I mean, that thing looks like it's, like, 8 feet tall. Where the fuck did he find this? And they went, and Azette says that's a humongous waste of money. I agree, because here's the thing. Here's the problem. And, again, I'm very sorry, but, I mean, for the podcast listeners anyway, you're not going to have the visual. So I'm going to explain this the best I can. I'm going to explain this as a reviewer, and I'm going to explain why I would ding this portal. Because here's the problem. You can very clearly see there's a sidewalk there, right? And then you see a bunch of, like, rocks that pronounce the sidewalk. The problem is this statue is behind the rock. And you know what that says to me? This is on the property, because that makes up, like, what the property line is. This statue is on the property. Therefore, it is private property. Therefore, it is denied. And I think Azette would be on the same page with me. Well, that's why Azette would say that's a humongous waste of money. Now, if that thing was in a public park, or if that thing existed on the other side of the sidewalk, which I'm not telling this person to just move it there temporarily, because the minute that thing is gone, it should get reported as gone and it would be removed anyway. But if that was the type of thing that existed permanently on the other side of the sidewalk, as long as there was 24/7 access safely to it, it might be more consistent. I don't know. I'd have to weigh in a lot of different factors into that. But yeah, I mean, 1-star reject, private property, like Azette says. And you can clearly see the sculpture is on the private property. So
it's also really ugly.
I'm telling you what. I mean, I know a lot of the Pokemon Go players think us Ingress reviewers are assholes, and you're right. But I'm a fan of both games. I'm level 40 in Pokemon Go, and I'm level 16 in Ingress. And let me tell you, having a Pokestop on your couch is not everything it's cracked up to be. You really have to think about what you are inviting to that. Because you're not just inviting a Pokestop for you to spin when you're pooping. You're inviting a portal for people to battle on. You're inviting possibly a Harry Potter knowledge thing, an inn. You're inviting all that shit onto your lawn. You know, and who knows what other games Niantic might release in the future. So think before you do something like this. So, yeah. And Azette says, I promise you do not want a couch stop. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Thank you. SJ100 Matt says he'll post a link to the picture in the podcast episode comments so you guys can see that over at VogNetwork.com. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Okay, let's move on. Sorry, I know we got a little off topic, but it's bizarre. Somebody bought an 8-foot ugly-ass dog person statue just to get a Pokemon stop on their pooper. Like, it's... Wow. Wow.
Or they just... I don't know. I don't know if they bought it just for that, but...
You know... Oh, maybe they just thought it was a pretty...
Maybe they're just like, they just, you know.
You know, I just, like, y'all that really desperately want these Pokemon stops on your house, humor me for a minute. The point of these games is to walk. Now, or I guess you could drive, but really walking's best. Or biking. Biking's great. Bike team, best team, right? So the point of these games is to walk. So... maybe it's okay that you walk to your park and get this. Even rural towns have parks. Anyway. Okay, I've had my piece. Tweet me if you don't like it. Mr. Rob Roberts on Twitter. All right, let's move on. Loki, you have something else to talk about.
Yes, yeah, so the Game Awards will be streamed to participating Cinemark theaters on December 12th. And along with that, apparently if you buy the $20 ticket, you also get treated to Jumanji The Next Level. That movie will be showing right before the Game Awards. Okay, I guess if you're really interested in seeing that. So that's technically a day earlier. You get a special treat to see that movie or suffer through it and watch the Game Awards. So it starts at 4:45 Central, and then the Game Awards are starting at 7:30 p.m. Central. God, I hope that movie is not that long. I don't know if I would not want to do this. I certainly wouldn't go to the Jumanji thing. It's on a Thursday. I really don't need to go. I'll watch it on my phone like I do every year. And when I watch, I mean, I may catch the trailers after it's done.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jeff's done a much better job crafting a decent Game Awards show. Who are they giving the Lifetime Award to this year? Do we know?
I don't know.
That was the best part of it when they gave it to Roberta Williams. That was the year I watched. But I didn't watch last year. So anyway, but I'm curious who they're going to give the Lifetime thing to this year. I don't think I would go watch it trapped in a movie theater. I like watching it in the comfort of my home with Fast Forward. But I was just thinking while you're kind of talking about this, like, oh, we, you know, Microsoft just had a big event where they showed all these trailers. We don't have anything like that from Sony or Nintendo. And then I'm thinking, oh, those guys tend to do stuff with Game Awards. Huh. Do you think maybe that's why Microsoft said some stuff? And not to say Microsoft won't have anything, but do you think that maybe like Sony and Nintendo especially are saving some things for the Game Awards?
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll be another Death Stranding trailer.
Interesting.
No? Death Stranding 2.
All right. Anyway. Moving on to one more story here, and I apologize I don't have video of this. I ran out of time, but I did pull this from our Discord as well. And apparently, you know the Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3, the soundtrack saga in that game where Michael Jackson kind of ghost wrote some of the songs, or at least
And they replaced a bunch of tracks for later releases.
Yeah, exactly. Well, apparently, some of the game archive folks out there, namely the websites The Hidden Palace and The Cutting Room Floor, apparently have found prototypes of Sonic the Hedgehog CD, Sonic Chaos, which was an 8-bit game, and then prototypes of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. But the final release of the month of their Sonic prototypes, a pre-release version of Sonic the Hedgehog 3. It was a prototype dated November 3rd, 1993, and the game is still in the early process of being in two parts. So some of the parts that are with Sonic and Knuckles are, you know, kind of not all done yet. But anyway, apparently some of the music in this game is different. Some of the experiments in the game, there's different commands like a ring throwing projectile attack, an aerial spin dash buffer that kind of looks like Sonic Mania's drop dash. And, of course, some of the musical changes as well. Sega had announced Michael Jackson as a composer, but then quickly pulled that announcement, probably because of what was going on in courtrooms around the same time. Apparently in this version of it, there's replacement tunes that were, in fact, the original tunes that were written by Sega and swapped out for Jackson stuff like Carnival Night Zone, Ice Cap Zone, Launch Base Zone, and Knuckles Theme, the Versus Mode jingle, and so forth. Those songs were originally composed tunes that Michael Jackson's tracks replaced. So, interesting. So, a lot of replacing, changing, last-minute stuff going on with Sonic 3 that this prototype is just adding along to the drama with.
So. It does show where those replacement tracks came from.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, I freaking love Sonic stuff, so.
Yeah. But I liked, you know, despite all the controversy around Michael Jackson, you know, the music being the music, I thought some of the stuff that, you know, was there was really good. So, pretty cool. Anyway. Dark Tosia says the alternate cuts are up on YouTube. Of course, everybody's gone to town on this. You can check out those game archive websites as well if you want to see a little more on the missing Sonic 3. SSJ100 Matt is pointing out I will say the Church's song in Death Stranding is fantastic. It really is. The Church's, the Death Stranding full soundtrack should be out now, huh? I wonder if there's other good songs in it. Are there any other like?
Yeah. The whole thing's on Apple Music right now.
Okay. So that means Spotify, Pandora, all the places have it. So.
I don't know about the others because I remember there being something about like a limited.
Well,
Spotify
had the Church's thing, so I don't see why they wouldn't. Yeah.
But yeah, the whole album is on Apple Music.
Ooh, okay. I want to check that out. That's pretty cool. Did you like the Church's song? Did you like that? Because it's the ending credits song, right?
It actually, there's a song that plays in the game too while it's there. The video I watched had to cut part of it out for licensing.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
I'm going to go ahead and also go completely off the cuff here and say that the Mustang Mach-E is ugly as balls and doesn't look like a fucking Mustang.
That is completely off the cuff. That's all right.
I'm just saying. I was getting Mustang stuff for Dan.
It's fine. All right. Well, we are about to the part of the show where we're going to open up our Discord for some telephone calls. So if you want to get in on the show tonight, you can join our green room and we'll head over there. Or if you have general questions you want to ask us as well, you can... ask those in chat as well. Do you have any last-minute stories for us, Loki, while we get set up?
There's a weird issue with Pokemon Sword and Shield that apparently is crashing Roku devices connected to the network that it's being played on. Something that has to do with the packets that the game is sending back and forth are crashing those devices connected to your network, which is weird. They also had another issue with your SD cards getting corrupted, too. So the game's got all sorts of problems.
Apparently, the SD card thing is getting blown way out of proportion. Like, somebody did a breakdown about that it's more of a bug than it is something that's, like, affecting, like, tons of people. Mm-hmm. And you have to do a very specific thing for that to happen.
Yeah.
So, but social media kind of spread that like wildfire. But anyway, let's go to the phones because you ready to talk some Pokemon? Because I see who's calling in right now. So, hi, Shane, are you there on the line?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I just beat Pokemon Shield, actually, while you guys were doing your show.
You beat Pokemon Shield?
Yes.
How many hours?
I think it said like 38.
Okay.
And in my little Pokemon group I have, I'm only like the fourth or fifth one to beat it. So I was pretty slow compared to other people.
And you've been playing some long hours on this game, right?
Yes and no. So for the first day, I played like 10 hours straight. I guess that first night. I redid my sleep schedule. It's been awful. But then this weekend, I've been doing like burst playing because, I was hanging out with Dustin since it's the weekend and he's off work. And he also got the new Star Wars games. So we were watching him play that and stuff. So, yeah. I've put a lot into it.
I'm sure the people that have been listening to Orange Lounge Radio for a long time and know what a fan of Pokemon you are really want to know what's your take. How does Pokemon Sword and Shield measure up? Is it worthy of being Generation 8? Or did Game Freak lie?
Okay, so it's so hard to say this because it's only been out for 3 days. And I'm still doing the post-game stuff. There's post-game stuff, of course. And I am very comfortable, at least, saying that it is really close to Gen 5 in terms of my favorite, like, Pokemon game. It has the potential actually to surpass it for me. And this was a lot better experience than I could have possibly thought it was going to be.
That's a pretty heavy endorsement. Why do you think this game is winning for you in that regard? Like, what is this bringing to the table for you?
So I think the main things for me that make this such an enjoyable experience, I feel like the story is pretty focused, especially for a Pokemon game. It's almost split into two parts, but the main part, the whole gym challenges that you do for this, basically a sporting event style Pokemon League, it's actually really good. I thought it was probably the best direction they've ever taken with doing gyms and all the badge stuff. And then the side story that's going on is pretty entertaining. At least it's interesting. I'm not sure entertaining is the right word, but I didn't ever feel like there was a dull moment. So all that is great. The
gym music is pretty great. I don't know if you heard me say that earlier in the show.
The gym music is so good. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It is fantastic. Actually, the music as a whole is really good in this game.
Which track did Toby Fox do? Do we know?
It definitely doesn't play during the main story. So it's after you beat it. What else? So I'm okay with the culling of the decks. I think it actually worked out to its advantage. Even though my favorite's gone, like I love Oshawa. It's my favorite Pokemon in the world. It's not in this game. Oh, well, like all I would have done is brought it in to breed it, to make it shiny. That is literally like the only thing I do with old Pokemon that aren't in the decks. What else?
SSU and her Matt wants to know your favorite Pokemon from this gen.
Oh God. Okay. So there are so many good ones. I can give you a top three, but I can't put them in an order. So Ice Q, which is an adorable ice penguin. I love him. I thought he was stupid at first, and he actually like really helped out my team. Toxtricity, which is electric and poison type, and like it has two forms, and one's like a bass guitar type player, and the other is like
someone straight up gives you one of those,
guitar.
Right? I think I just got
the pre-evolution Toxel. So yeah, and then finally Inteleon, which I'm sorry, it's 3 days after the game, and you've seen pictures by now. It's the water starter, final Evo.
Okay.
So those are my top three.
What do you think of the wide open area, the wild zone?
I actually like it, but probably not for the reasons they really want us to like it. It chugs if you're online, which kind of sucks. The frame rate drops considerably when other people are in that same area as you. And that's okay. Whatever. You know, it's cool to see all the Pokemon walk around. I actually prefer them on the routes rather than the wild area because I'm just trying to maneuver in the wild area to get to different places. But the max raid battles are the best thing this game has done in a long, long time. Doing four-player co-op, me and my little group of Pokemon friends, we did it for hours last night. It's just so much fun.
Yeah, I
actually
think
better than tapping on a screen like over and over.
I think those raids are part of the strength of this particular gen of Pokemon as well. And I mean, whether y'all agree with me or not, it really feels kind of inspired by Pokemon Go in a way. You know, that idea of like teaming up to take on a big, gigantic version of a Pokemon that then scales down to something you can catch. Like that does feel like it was inspired by Pokemon Go.
One bummer about it, and I think this is just, I'll blame Game Freak and Nintendo, is the lack of being able to communicate with the random players you're paired with, or not paired with, but if they join your lobby to fight the Pokemon. Because, for example, last night I got into a raid for a Pokemon that was the Gigantamax form, which is much more rare to find, and they're really cool. And so it was a fire bug type. So three of us took, you know, great counters for it. I took Inteleon. I think somebody else took Inteleon, and somebody took something else. The fourth person took Scorbunny's final evolution. And Scorbunny is fire type. And the Pokemon we fought was fire and bug. Plus it had an ability that every time it would get hit by a fire move, it would get attack increase. And so this one player not only was using fire moves, but they also Dynamax their Pokemon, and only one person gets to do that. And so like it was a waste of our entire collective time because of that one person.
VG Realness in chat says it was probably a kid they probably didn't know, but like you would have liked a way to like wave a flag and say, try something else. Like, please.
Yeah. Or like
use an appropriate counter.
Yeah. Or some like preset chat options that say like, hey, let me Dynamax or something. So before that person did it, they you know, wouldn't Dynamax or quit using Fire Moves. The Fire Moves thing was what really actually made me mad, because it literally says when you hit it with it, like a thing pops up with its ability and it just increases their attack or whatever. And they kept doing it over and over.
Yeah, even a canned message that says try a water type Pokemon or something probably would have been better, right?
Yeah. But otherwise, I think those are mostly implemented very well, and it is kind of a bummer that I feel like they will not be back in whatever comes after this. I think this is going to stay kind of standard to just Sword and Shield, no matter how much we all say it's amazing.
Let me ask you, I wanted to ask you some other bits of the controversy. Well, what's your whole take on the wave against this game on Twitter, and what, you know, the fact that people are going so far as to attack IGN for a good review when they attacked IGN for a bad review, and then are attacking Serebii.net of all places, which blew my mind when those guys work for virtually nothing.
I think they're just whiny idiots, to put it like the nicest way possible. There's really no need to do something like that. I feel like if you have the time to make death threats and write reviews to bomb Metacritic with, you know, negative reviews, you could be doing something much more productive, and it really shows how sad your life is.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, which folks out there have every right to not like this game or not want this game,
don't buy it.
Exactly. Like that. Yeah. The bottom line is nothing will send a stronger message than not buying the game. But the thing that blows my mind is everybody on there complaining, and then they buy it anyway.
Yeah. And like, what, you can be mad about certain things that they cut or that they change, and that's cool. Be mad about it. It's your right. But when you start like throwing a fit over positive reviews, that, I don't know, do you not see how sad you are at that point? It blows me away.
So what else would I ask about this? Oh, let me, one other take on the controversy out there would be the whole, like, the game was rushed. Do you think that maybe, because even I'm kind of thinking like, well, I mean, optimization wise, I could make a case for maybe this game maybe wasn't totally ready for the holiday, but it was kind of one of those, Nintendo needed something for the holiday, so they made it happen. And I, you know, again, I think the game came out fine, but I definitely, like, we're talking about the wild area, it kind of gets a little yucky, and maybe needed a little more optimization. Do you think the game was rushed? Do you think more time would have helped this game, or what?
I think that's the case for every game that comes out. I think if they had more time, they could have added more Pokemon, they could have done whatever, but I don't think we've been given an inferior product. I don't think that delaying it an extra, you know, month would have really made that big a difference. I think it's, I don't think Game Freak's a great developer to begin with, just technically. They do a lot of cool things, but their games are always behind in some way. And I didn't expect this game to show me that they were like on the level of the developers, Nintendo's internal team for like Mario Odyssey or anything like that. But I wouldn't say this was rushed. This feels complete and awesome. And like I said earlier, what we were given is dangerously pushing up against my favorite Pokemon generation in terms of how much I like it.
Now, my last question for you, and arguably the most important question for you, Shane, how many shinies do you have so far?
Zero. Okay. So I agree. There's a couple things about that though. Like, I have not really looked up how shiny hunting is in this game, so I don't know much about it yet. And I don't have my shiny charm, which I want. I always like having that when it's available in the game. So that's going to be an after I beat everything and I'm ready to, you know, just kind of chill with my Pokemon game. Now, granted, with the addition of all the multiplayer content, I feel like shiny hunting, while I love it a whole bunch, I'm going to get distracted. Like by, oh, look, somebody is connecting to a raid I really want to do. I better hop in that lobby and do it as well. And that's something I didn't touch on. It took me 8 hours to get to the first gym because I fell down this hole of just wanting to do max raid battles. And just I kept going and going. I was having so much fun that's how all my friends that were playing passed me because I couldn't
but
stop.
But then you get all that XP candy.
Yes, that's 100% true. And it helps. It helps so much, especially like, for example, I picked up Ice Q towards the end, and he was severely underleveled compared to what I already had with me. So I was like, here, have some candies. And he shot up to, he actually surpassed. He's my strongest Pokemon now in terms of level, at least, or my highest level, not strongest. It's pretty weak.
It's
great.
You know the terms better than I do, but that little turtle, that little blue turtle thing. So I don't know the name of it, but it's like
little
my water Pokemon.
And so Chudel or Dreadnought?
Chudel. Okay, so Chudel. Okay, Chudel. I just put him in my party. So because I just beat the water gym, I took something out of my party that was strong against water. It must have been a grass. Maybe it was Gossifleur. I think I had Gossifleur in my party. So I took Gossifleur out and I put Chudel in. But Chudel was like level 15, where the rest of my party was like level 21. So I fed.
You took Chudel to the water gym to fight in the water gym?
No. Chudel was in the box while Gossifleur helped me in that gym. And then
really quick before you continue that story, that's another amazing thing that you can change your Pokemon almost like 99% on the fly when you're not in a battle.
Yeah, but you can't when you do gyms, you can't run out and heal up like you used to do in the old games. And the game does let you heal up a lot. Like there's a lot of NPCs. They'll just be like, I'm going to heal your Pokemon. And some people were criticizing the game for that. But I'm like, you know what? It's a quality of life thing because I run back almost all the time and heal my Pokemon before fighting another NPC. Like, it's just part of the game, right? So I like that they have more places to do that. But when you do the gyms, you don't get to do that anymore. You have to fight everything in one go, which is interesting. But, like, my Grookey, which was Thwacky or whatever his name is when he's evolved, dominated that water gym. That was all I needed. Just tore everybody apart in that gym. So I didn't even need the Gossifleur. But anyway, I was going to say about the Chudel. So, like, my Chudel's level 15. The rest of my party's, like, anywhere between 21 and, like, 26. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do, like, two Dynamax raid. And I fed Chudel all the candy I got from the raids. And the Chudel evolved into whatever his water rock form is. So now he's the perfect fire gym thing. Got to, like, level – that's, like, my highest level Pokemon now. He's, like, level 27 or something.
Yeah, those candies are such a good idea. Like, that's something that I feel like partially came from Pokemon Let's Go, which was not a great game, and they changed it to be an awesome addition instead of like, oh, whatever.
Well, and the nice thing about those candies, too, is that usually I'm hesitant to use items because it's like, oh, I might need those later. But it's like, no, I know if I just go do more Dynamax raids, I'll get more candy. So I don't feel bad using those. You know what I mean?
And I feel you about the hesitant to use items, and really don't feel too bad because that I'm not going to spoil because there's story stuff I don't want to spoil. Who cares about the Pokemon at this point? The eighth gym like tried to wreck me so hard. I got down to one Pokemon.
Oh, wow.
The eighth gym was so rough for my team, and it was really fun because of that.
Okay. Interesting.
Actually.
All right. I'm curious about that. So, yeah, I don't want to use up extra items. I don't have to. Also, you know, if you just a tip for those that have the game that may not have already figured it out. If you did have Let's Go and you have the Pokemon Ball Plus, you can walk Pokemon and you do get – it doesn't level them like it did in Let's Go. So your Pokemon are not going to gain experience that way, but you will get items. And I think XP candy can be included, but you do get an assortment of items for walking as well, which is kind of neat.
Oh, I have not even used my extra Pokeball Plus yet to get Mew or do anything with it.
You should check it out, but that'll make you play Pokemon Go a little bit as well. Anyway, Shane, I'm going to let you go because we've talked a lot about Pokemon, but are you doing a stream later tonight?
I wanted to do a max raid battle stream. However, I actually have to get to bed early tonight, okay. So I cannot.
All right.
But I will probably be doing a lot of max raid streams. And anybody that has Pokemon, Sword and Shield, that want to come do them, like if I'm streaming, just hit me up. I will be more than happy to come join and blow things up with you.
And what's your Twitch channel so people can follow?
I don't know. What is it?
Shane, you need to learn a little bit about promotion.
It's Shad_Starzik.
Maybe just type in the chat room, hi, it's Shane, and people will know that they can follow you. Okay, yeah.
It's Shane.
When you want to promote your stream, you might want to know the name of it. All right.
I wasn't planning on promoting it. I'm so engrossed in Pokemon right now.
It's fine. All right. Thanks for calling and sharing your thoughts, though. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye. All right. Well, I don't see anybody else waiting to call in tonight. Do we have any other last-minute stories to get into for tonight?
Capcom announced Street Fighter V Championship Edition.
Oh.
So that's coming out February 14th for $29.99.
And let me guess, it's the version that has like everything in it.
40 characters, 200 costumes, 34 stages, 2 V skills for each character. It's also a $24.99 upgrade if you have the original game. Okay. And they also announced Gil as a playable character.
All right. Glad I waited. I also had a curiosity, Loki, because she showed off her copy of Pokemon Sword earlier. You know, I've been playing Pokemon Shield. Loki, I know you've kind of held out, but has all this talk possibly swayed you on the Pokemon thing?
I might get it, but I don't get very much access to the Nintendo Switch because while I was gone, while we were out, I had to buy the god awful Ryan Toy Review racing game. It's a kart racing game because my youngest son fucking loves that shill of a child. But he has a kart racing game out, and so he needed to have that game, so I bought him that game. But actually, ironically enough, as I knew what would happen, he'd get sick of that game super fast because we've been talking about like Minecraft, and so he's actually been playing more Minecraft on the Switch than anything. So
okay,
he plays Minecraft on the Switch a lot, and then I ironically have been watching more Minecraft streams on the Switch or on YouTube because there's for some reason my recommended keeps like it's Minecraft, but we programmed it to do something different. So watch it; it's interesting. Like
sounds up your alley.
You know,
yeah.
Every block drops something that's different. You know, and whatever.
All right. You know, one thing I keep meaning to get more and more into, since you're talking about like things that are different, I keep down and I've been downloading and playing with them. But randomizers is a thing I'm like super fascinated with right now. Like you know, you can download especially the one that like mixes the games,
the Super or Metroid and Zelda
M1Z1, I think it's called the one that mixes those. And then there's actually one that mixes Super Metroid and Link to the Past together.
Yeah, but that's the one I was talking about. What's the other one you were thinking of?
There's an M1Z1 that mixes the NES versions, so it's 8-bit Metroid. Yeah, but I was going to set up doing those streams, but I was having a problem using like the mapping thing. But I think I got that all figured out. Long story short, I kind of like sat down and taught myself to use some stuff. So I might do some randomizer streams in the future because I just think that stuff is like fascinating in a way. But I almost think I want to keep it simple and just do like instead of trying to mix Zelda and Metroid where I don't because there's certain logic that goes into the randomizer stuff that I'm just trying to like jump in and learn. But I think maybe I want to take on just Zelda first. Then we'll add Metroid into it, you know, and all that. But the randomizer thing I think is really fascinating. And the particular mapping thing I downloaded has a bunch of randomizers that, like, you have to put the ROMs on a website. Like, it doesn't do it for you because it's trying to be legal about it. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. And I realize these things are in a gray area of legality. But, y'all, how many times have I bought The Legend of Zelda? How many times have I bought the original Metroid? Because I'm going to tell you. I bought it back in the day on the NES. I bought it, you know, when they were on Virtual Console on the Wii. I bought it again on Virtual Console on the Wii U. I probably bought the Game Boy version of at least, or Game Boy Advance version of one of those games at some point. So look.
Pretty sure you had the GameCube version at one time.
I am allowed to take those ROMs and do whatever the fuck I want with them. I bought that game like five times.
Still have the SNES Classic, so.
Yeah. So anyway. All right, anyway. That's on that. I'll talk more about that on a future week if I do fall down that rabbit hole. But honestly, I should probably stay focused on Pokemon Shield because, like, I think Shane would, like, actually be speechless if I actually beat a Pokemon game. I think he, for once, would, like, not know what to say. So I'm going to really try to stick it to the end of Pokemon Shield because I'm having a good time so far. And then I need to do my not-so-much-hate play of Death Stranding because I need to figure out what all this hubbubaloo is about. So I've got my
winter.
Well,
one of the things I saw with Death Stranding that made no sense because the game doesn't really make any sense, but like I guess it's slightly stealthy so that... Okay, stop it.
It does make a lot of sense when you finish.
Okay,
it.
But this part doesn't make sense, so just stop interrupting me already. Listen... It's like you're trying to be stealthy and hiding in, like, grass and stuff. But, yeah, you have this, like, skyscraper of fucking packages sticking out of the sky. It's like, okay, I heard somebody there. It's like, what is that? It's like, you see this giant stack of boxes right there. And, like, where the fuck did that come from? And that's just a little odd. And it's
all right. It's fine.
Like, you got to have a power suit to carry all that around anyway.
Which he does. But, yeah. Like, it's just like.
We've given you a knee replacement.
And so does it explain the monster energy thing? Does it explain that? Because that seems just plain,
kinda,
just like shilling for the
kinda.
Fuck.
Kinda.
All right. I have to see for myself before some asshole spoils me. All right. Anyway.
They do explain what causes the crater to appear.
You need to play, since you have Apple Arcade, What the Golf. Because What the Golf is free is part of Apple Arcade.
I saw it.
It's great.
All right. I'll get it. I'll download it right now.
All right. Anyhow, on that note, we started with games and we're ending with games. Wow, that's a first. So we're going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. We will be back next week. The holidays even fall on kind of nice days for this show this year because the holidays are like Tuesday, Wednesdays. So we should still be here throughout the holidays. I'm not foreseeing that we're going to take any shows off. So we hope to see you lots of Sunday nights here with us live at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening to our show or watching live, however you decided to consume the show. Please help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about the show. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but if the voices aren't here to air them, then you know we don't have them. We love hearing all the different perspectives. Those of you that do the hosts on Twitch, on your personal channel, that is so appreciated. That is one of the best ways to spread the word about this show. So thank you so much to those that have added VOG Network to your auto host list. All right, let's get the actual final thoughts out. Loki, I'll start with you. Your final thought tonight.
So I would just like to wish everybody a happy early Bomani Day, because that's right, this week, 19 and 20 November.
Yeah, unfortunately, that holiday kind of falls in the middle, too.
Yes.
So, you know, and actually, the funny thing is, our 800th episode would have been right in this mix if, you know, I hadn't suddenly gotten, or no, what was it, the fucking internet cut out or whatever it was. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, happy Bomani Day. That's a great one. My final thought is I would like to not be sick for once in this past 6 weeks. So I'm going to cross my fingers and my toes that tomorrow I wake up and I'm all better because sinus congestion sucks. Last but not least, Dark Soccer, your final thought.
That tweet that I said that I replied to Kojima saying I wanted to be the bridge baby got liked by the guy who played Die Hard Man, Tommy Earl Jenkins.
Fun.
I just like when I get a random nod, like, hey, that's cool.
Isn't it weird when like random celebrities like your tweet? Actually, I didn't talk about this on the show. I'm gonna mention it here real fast and we'll wrap up the show. I had a tweet go viral this week and it had nothing to do, and it, like, that has not happened to me before. I've never had, I mean, like, maybe like a little bit viral, like maybe hundreds of likes,
but not like
likes.
An epidemic.
No, I had one, it's up to 2,000 plus likes at this point. But here's the thing. It had nothing to do with video games or any of that. So,
what was it?
Okay, what I did, it was on the day that Disney Plus was released, and I wrote, it said, I'm going to find it.
I'm just not going to like it on purpose, Rob.
No, it's fine. It's one of those things where it's like, it's so random that of everything I've written, this is the fucking tweet that people find and like. Okay, Disney Plus. Hey, look at us. We're the cool kid, new kids on the block. Netflix, yeah, well, Selena, with the Selena trailer attached.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the tweet. That's all I wrote. 486 retweets, 2,086 likes.
It's a valid point.
No, it is. It's a completely valid point. Like, you know, and then this turns into a whole conversation about how Selena is literally perfect, how Selena would change the music industry if she were still with us, how, you know, and just... You know, just Selena stanning, which is something this world needs more of. So Everybody stream Selena.
Oh, by the way, show. I do have a very final thought.
Okay.
Free Hong Kong.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. SG100 Matt says, didn't Richard Simmons like your tweet once, Rob? Ooh. I think he did. He replied. I think he replied once.
I remember something like that.
I remember something like that, too. It was before. It was before the, because Twitter's been around since like 2006. So it was before he went missing. So,
although, like, I go into random conversations, though, with Lady Bunny. I mean, seriously.
No, I know. I've seen it. Yeah.
Like, on my Facebook and on Twitter, it's the funniest thing. Because Lady Bunny is...
Twitter getting us closer to...
Well, and I'll tell you this. Yeah. If you want a really... Like, a person who doesn't retweet bullshit for politics, actually check out Lady Bunny, because the stuff posted is pretty well-researched and very eloquently spoken.
All right. We're going to wrap up.
Okay. Just saying, Lady Bunny...
We're ending up on a ranty, tangenty note, but it's really funny. So anyway, that's it. We're done. That's the tweet. See you next week, everybody. Bye. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.